is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy, much to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
And welcome into the John Murphy Show. We got a special show for you guys. I'm joined by two players. We actually got a players-only edition of the John Murphy Show today because Murph is still out dealing with something, and hopefully he can get better soon.
I'm starting to feel bad for him.
Me too. I mean, it's been like a month.
I'm not quite all the way there yet, but I'm starting to feel bad for him.
I mean, how much longer until all the way?
I don't know. A couple more days, me parachuting in.
Right. Well, I'm surprised you guys didn't come down whatever Murph had, because you guys obviously
I got a flu shot. We had this out yesterday. Yeah. I got a flu shot.
Is that what it is? Because, I mean, you guys drove from Indy.
Donald did not.
Back from Indy with him. Or you flew.
I flew back, but I drove out.
Yeah, somebody was in the car.
But I've been on set with him here for the last month as he's been dealing with what he's been. And it's crazy because I don't really have an immune system because of the kidney transplant and things like that, you know. So I don't know. You know, I'm just strong like that.
On your protocol or whatever, you take supplements or something. Got vitamins?
No, I mean.
Nothing?
No.
I'm with you. Just, you need to be more proactive.
Well, whatever you did, Murph needs to emulate.
I need to do something, right?
I feel bad because he's, you know, we've even, you know, my family's listening to the show. They're like, wow, what's with Murph?
Right.
He's been coughing for like a month.
Yeah. Murph was getting suggestions.
I'm telling you,
the biggest one was the Vicks, and I keep bringing that up. It's the Vicks. Put Vicks in your socks and go to sleep with it.
Yeah.
And we actually went to CVS.
Wait.
Tussin.
Vicks
just give
them
that Tussin.
Put Vicks on your feet and put socks on.
Yeah.
That's like an old school remedy.
That's old school.
So he had us take a trip to CVS.
He's still out.
In Indianapolis. But he's still out. It didn't work. So those of you who are doing that, no, it's not going to work for you. But like I said, we got a special edition, players only. I'm joined by Lorenzo Alexander, Steve Tasker. We got a fun show lined up for you guys. But first, obviously, we're going to get into some free agency, some serious stuff that's about to open up here next week. We got John Jackson, who is a reporter for USC. We're going to talk some quarterback Sam Darnold, Ronald Jones, the running back from out there. They got a couple of other guys that are coming out, a linebacker who's a top five linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming out in the draft. And so we're going to get into that stuff at 1 o'clock. Lorenzo will be gone because he didn't want to stay with us for the entire show.
Well, you know.
He doesn't like us that much.
Let's have some transparency here. Like I was approached maybe 30 minutes before the show started. Say, hey, do you want to do the whole show? I mean, we got Tasker on deck, but do you want to do the whole show?
Yeah.
I mean, I got kids. I got things I got to do. I mean, I need a little bit more leeway before 30 minutes before.
He was almost an empty nester, though. He was approached 10 minutes before
you. If he's not, I mean, he's got to be right up there.
I can tell where this is headed. Because I got called 15 minutes before the show. I got nothing going on. I got no life.
Steve was like, I got nothing.
I mean, in fact, I'm even wearing a Bills shirt so I can go on TV.
He already had a shirt on.
I'm already dressed. Of course,
I
got that goes.
All right, well, Lorenzo, Steve, I wanted
the only
to get
without
into
a life.
Without a life until we get to the spring, and then you're playing golf, and then you're like, "Nah, sorry,
listen,
I got some golf to play."
Don't remind me.
All right, well, let's get into some free agency talk. And the Bills have made some moves. Lorenzo, I don't know if we've had a chance to actually talk to you about the signing of Vontae Davis.
No.
And I know I talked to you off air about Vontae and his personality and how he'll be a good fit to this team. So what do you think about those two signings? We can start with Vontae Davis and then get the grip.
Well, obviously he's a pro in his league. He's been in the league for a very long time. He's made a lot of plays throughout his career and his various stops. Obviously he's coming off injury, but he's a guy that's going to rehab and get back, because being around him and his brother a little bit, you just understand how they approach the game. And much like when I suffered my injury, I just know how he's going to approach that. And he'll be just fine coming back off of that. Go out there and prove himself. But what I really like about him and him being in that room is how he's going to impact Tre'Davious White, our young corner, and teach him how to be a professional, teach him some of those tricks of a trade of a veteran cornerback, because obviously Trey is gifted. has great athleticism, but that's only going to take you so far in this league. You have to be a professional, a technician, if you want to take that next step and be one of those guys that's considered, you know, a Patrick Peterson or a Richard Sherman, one of those top-tier corners at a high level. You got to be a technician as
well. Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, and I said one of the important things, after you get out of that first year, particularly a guy like Tre'Davious White, who had a great year.
Yeah,
I mean,
this
guy,
like,
he proved it in 1 year, right? But the thing he has to do now, and you alluded to it, it's not just about coming back and you know, start playing again and get on the team and play. It's about getting better.
You've
got to get better every year. You got to think about what you didn't do well, what you had problems with. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and be able to, you know.
I'm sorry. You guys can keep going. I ripped.
That boy just laughing.
I ripped.
You was doing real careful over there, and it just, y'all should have spent a little money and put out new ones. They look like they've been through the ringer.
We've had it for a little while. I ripped it by mistake. He has these cards.
We have these cards printed. For those of you, we have these cards printed that has the phone number, the, you know, the 800-250-550, and then the outside Buffalo, all that. And it looks like it's printed on sheepskin, ancient scroll. It's been around so much. They're all tattered and worn, and Donald just tore one of the important ones.
I just tore it up. I'm sorry, Murph.
They're disintegrating before our eyes.
But, you know, now you have a reason to go get some new ones if you're watching. I'm pretty sure.
Nobody knows how to work a printer in this building. But we're talking – Tre'Davious is – you don't know. A lot of guys get – after that first year, they come back and they say – and they do get better. They become 8-9-year vets like you, Vontae, like all these the veteran guys who come in, like you transformed your whole body. You had to change
each
position.
Year I've had to get better.
Right,
so it's been naturally built in.
That is the one mentality nobody watching the NFL kind of gets. They think these guys kind of they bounce back and they just start playing again. It's not like that.
Not that easy at all.
It's not that you got to look at yourself and say, you know what, my former teammate who was really maybe one of the best guys ever I saw at this was Andre Reed.
Yeah.
He was raw, very talented, coming by his first year. Then his second year he came back and he started running better routes. He kind of worked on routes. The next year it was run after the catch. The next year it was blocking downfield. The next year it was hand. You know, one thing every year you address in your own game to get better and stay in the league. And that's what you hope a guy like Vontae Davis brings to a guy like Tre'Davious.
Right. And that's what you're talking about is Hall of Fame caliber work ethic.
He didn't teach him. He didn't have to teach him how to run.
Yeah,
he
knew that. It's all the little details.
It's an attitude about yourself.
And that's true. And that's why a lot of guys will have that sophomore slump because they had great success that first year. And success is often our worst enemy. And they come back and just think, okay, I'm going to do the same thing. But guys got a whole year of tape on you. Okay, this is where he's weak at. Boom, we're going to exploit this. So it takes, I guess, a lot of humility and allowing coaches and other players to speak into your life about those holes in your game. Because sometimes we're blinded to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had all this great success. I should have been the rookie of the year defensively. And all those other things that he's got the awards. And you look up and you say, man, why is he not balling out? Why am I not playing as well? It's because guys have caught up from a mental standpoint and exploiting your weaknesses, even though you may not have lost a step. And that's what happens.
Sometimes,
But I see Tre'Davious not being that kid, being around him so long.
See, I don't see him being that kid. I think he's going to work hard. I think the biggest difference for him, because he had a lot of expectations as a first-round pick anyway.
Right,
but now the expectations are even higher because he has such a good season. So people are like, look, we expect you now you shut down corner. You might be locking dudes up all over the field. We expect you Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. You get some of these guys in there, and this speaks to the culture that Sean and Brandon Bean and you guys, like Lorenzo, you veterans, kind of saw the change. You know, it struck me, you're a close-knit group in there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's important, particularly for a guy like Tre'Davious, because he'll come in. He knows that his head coach, his position coach, the veterans, they're not just yakking at him. It's not like a challenge to his manhood. It's not like they're just getting in his ear. They care.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know that they're doing it for your own good, and that's why you can open up and say, okay, what are you talking about? Say, well, you know, you're backpedaling in this defense. Look what you're doing here. They're talking some specific things.
Right.
And you don't take it as an insult.
Right.
You take it as – somebody's in it with me. They're helping me out. And the culture speaks to that. And that's where young guys really benefit from a great culture like they have here.
Yeah, and that's so true. I mean, it's all about building that consistency and this continual growth that we're talking about. Because I'm good friends. I played with Patrick Peterson for a couple of years. And that's a guy that's continued to get better. And sometimes when you're a shutdown corner, you get out there and get bored because everybody's scared to throw at you. So it's all about the mentality of that corner. Like, competing with yourself inside the game and just going out there to dominate, not just stop that guy, but making it even more, you know, having a higher standard. And now, you know, and that's what Pat does out there, just working on those little things that's going to make him better. Now, hopefully, and that's what I see Vontae kind of filling that role and that culture that we're talking about. And we want to see that with every player. I mean, Deion Dawkins is another kid that you want to see to make that next step.
It's perfect.
I mean, there's
that's
a lot of guys that are in that bubble that you want to see grow to that next year, because that's what the difference was this past year as far as just making the playoff. It wasn't me or Kyle Williams or LeSean McCoy. You know what you're going to get out of us. Mm-hmm. It's all about those young guys, who steps up, who surprises people, and then how do they grow into that next year and then that new group that's coming in as well.
Right.
How do they step up and play? And that's normally what separates good, solid teams from taking that next step and eventually being, you know, a Super Bowl caliber team.
Now, bringing in a guy like Vontae Davis, he's had some good years in the league, Pro Bowl years, and then he's had some not so good. He's coming off of a couple of injuries. Some of us know the incident out in Indianapolis. He got second opinions,
right?
Whatever happened, and they moved on. You bring him in here, so I don't want to get into EJ Gaines with you, but for my money, I wouldn't think that they would sign EJ Gaines back now. Coach McDermott has said he'll probably – Vontae will be on the outside.
Right.
You know, he didn't say opposite Tre'Davious, but he'll be an outside corner.
Right.
What does that do to the back end of the defense? And we know EJ Gaines, when he was in, with the team was, what, 8-3?
Yeah.
His agent is going to use that here in free agency.
Yeah, of course. You got to.
But what does that do to the back end of this defense now when you have to now sub a big piece of the back end of that defense with somebody else?
I mean, it's always hard when you have transition, but that's the life of this current NFL with free agency that you have. So the players back there have dealt with it before. This team has dealt with it. Guys have been in and out and been on multiple teams. The great thing about it is that it's not our first year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Micah, Jordan, Trey, and if we have anybody else that's returning in that aspect in the defensive backfield, as long with the coach back there, there's already some camaraderie, culture, and an understanding of the scheme. So they're just helping Vontae along. It's not all 12 guys on the back end. Yeah. It's just one or two guys that are coming in, and that process works a lot faster than first-year head coach.
I mean, think about this, though. You had four new starters back there last year. Right. Talking about transition, this is a team that handled it pretty darn well. If you get the right guys, it goes pretty smooth, and actually you can get better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a team that's already proven that, you know, you plug in Poirier, you plug in Micah Hyde, you plug in a rookie in Tre'Davious White, and then you get E.J. Gaines, who nobody knew about.
Intrigued.
All of a sudden, it's the strength of your whole defense.
Right.
It's the strength of your team, one of the strengths of your team. So, yeah, plug in one guy, that probably doesn't scare too many guys over there.
No, not at all.
Particularly a guy who's a veteran.
Yeah, and you're going to get that every year. And like you said, he's a veteran, proven. You know he's going to come in, work some things out. It's going to just happen that much better because he understands how to communicate. And you got guys like Micah and Jordan, Vontae. Those guys talk and understand the way this league works. So, for me, my perspective, I don't see it's going to be a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about helping those younger guys, those rookies. I'm pretty sure we're going to probably draft a safety or a corner as well.
Yeah.
Getting those guys up to par. So if we have an injury, those guys can step in and play right away and you don't have a drop-off. So it's always the younger guys that I tend to worry about versus a veteran like Vontae.
And now, as you talk about still drafting them, I mean, you need some depth there. And you got to figure out Sharice Wright, Leonard Johnson, both free agents. Well, so you definitely need some depth on the back end of the defense, even at the safety position. So it's still a lot of work in progress that needs to – work that needs to get done on the back end of the defense. Now let's flip it over.
I was going to say just real quick. I mean, you mentioned Leonard Johnson.
Yeah.
And he is a vital key to that, the way things work. I think the slot corner doesn't get as much praise as being on the outside, the number one. But that inside job is probably one of the most difficult spots to play. So he's definitely a guy that – we definitely need back because there's not too many guys that can slide inside and cover a slot receiver. It's just a unique position, and it's become more vital the way the game is, you know, kind of transcended, spreading people out. You need that guy. So hopefully we're able to get Leonard back.
Now let's flip it over to the offensive side of the ball. And yesterday the team signed running back
Chris Ivory
from Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
He was released from Jacksonville, so they were able to sign him before free agency really opened up. We had a good chance to talk to him. He's excited about it. Going to be probably a backup with LeSean McCoy here. You've had a good chance to play against him. So what does he bring to this offense?
He's a big physical back. I think he's a great counterpart to the way Shady runs. And those guys, they'll come up and, you know, work out whatever the rhythm of the game as far as who gets, you know, the carries and what situation. They'll come up and devise a great plan. Obviously, Shady is going to carry the load for us. But when you have a guy like this that runs hard downhill, it makes it harder to defend Shady, who's probably the best back still in this league.
Yeah, speak to that, because a lot of people had a real problem with the departure of all these young scat backs, and when they kept Mike Tolbert last year.
Right.
And he was – you couldn't have been more opposite than Shady.
Exactly.
Now, talk as a defender, talk about that. Why is that important?
Yeah, I mean, because one guy wants to come and thump you, you know, try to run you over, be real physical, you know, maybe try to get a little small. Then you got Shady – who's trying to break you off. So if you're not very keen on the substitution and who's back there at a time, one time you could come up thinking you're about to tackle Shady, and here comes Chris Ivory running down your throat.
Right.
And the other time, here comes Shady, and you coming in to really try to lay the lumber, and you getting broke off and being looked silly. So that constantly being thrown off and having different people, different personnel thrown at you is definitely hard as a defender.
Even if you're on top of it and you see you see Shady run off, you see him come on, then you start looking around going, hey, you know, you got other – it's one more degree of difficulty for the defense to say, hey, we know they're not going to do certain things, or we are. Does it
right.
make you more predictable as an offense?
Sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes backs come in and you know they're going to pass because they're not going to get the ball. So if you saw a guy like a fullback line up in the backfield and gun, you just, okay, they're passing, it's pass pro.
Right.
You may get a couple of different runs with Shady versus Chris back there, mm-hmm. but it's not – most teams that are good, they do a good enough job of self-scouting themselves where at a certain part of the season you really don't get a true telltale. You know, it might be more downhill.
They throw in trend breakers too. You know,
they just kind of throw you off.
Tendency breakers.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you're going to get more inside run versus maybe more outside, or just knowing where the running back is going to be with personnel versus the actual play.
You know, Coach McDermott, one of the things that he's done since he's been here is to make sure that he brings everyone in here that is really versatile. You know, guys mm-hmm. that can play or do different things, even within one position, right?
So
Chris Ivory, even though he's a bruising style of runner,
right.
he's shown, number one, that he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
For those of you who were watching on MSG, you could see him when he was with the Jets catching some passes out the backfield, scoring touchdowns. So it's not like, oh, he's in there, so they're just going to run it him. So it's a little bit different. Plus, even though he is a big physical back, he still can move a little bit. He still has some wiggle.
He got some juice to him when he got to the open field.
You know, he still has some wiggle. And so the question is for me, Lorenzo, what's it like when you get into that third and fourth quarter when the entire game you're trying to tackle Shady and he trying to shake you out your boots and now you're like, oh, man. And then you get into that third, fourth quarter, four-minute situation, and then all of a sudden you got – Ivory coming in there, and he's fresh.
Yeah, it's wearing you down.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting, you know, with Chris, I mean, he's obviously last year he's had Fournette, so he did have to learn how to make the most or mm-hmm. maximize his runs. So mm-hmm. I think that's actually a benefit for us because some guys, you know, they get in the fourth quarter, they don't have a feel or a rhythm for the game.
Yeah.
Even though they're fresh, it really doesn't make a difference.
Right.
So I think he learned how to handle that role last year playing behind Fournette. So it's actually going to make it difficult for me because now he's tuned, ready to go, and has the feel just from coming off the bench. And it is harder because I'm normally wore down at that point, and it's just a battle of attrition. And you're trying to, you know, stop this guy who has fresh legs turning, doesn't have the type of hits on your body that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So it is difficult, and he will be able to close out some games for us along with Shady.
Yeah, that's one of the things we are also going to talk about today, with the signing of Chris Ivory, all the other free agents out there. And, the, mm-hmm. you know, the quarterbacks always grab the headlines, and they're
right.
coming out saying, you know, and the three top things, and I just read a thing on Twitter about Kirk Cousins is the name
mm-hmm.
that has dominated because they could never get it done in Washington. And it came to me, and I don't know what you guys think about this, Kirk Cousins didn't want to stay in Washington.
Yeah, and they didn't really want him either.
Yeah.
I think it was like, prove
right?
yourself, okay?
He kept proving himself just enough so that they didn't want him to come back.
Right.
And, and he said, well, you know, I'm – and the number – they kept franchising
and
the number
fine.
Kept going up. Hey, I'll take
– yeah,
I'll take because
that.
He's a fourth-round pick.
He's getting a couple of dozen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, you can franchise me, too. I'm going to run in there and sign it. Boom.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean I don't want to be there, but I'll take that
right.
guaranteed, whatever,
number,
$20 million.
$20 million.
Boom,
that
I'm
number,
good. Yeah. I'm good, baby. That's
that number
that
kept going up. The
yeah.
number kept going up. So now they got to the point where the end of that line,
right.
and they said, you know what, we're just not going to give a guy like that $30 million. And I get it.
I get it, too.
Somebody may. And the you look at the Vikings, they got all three of their guys are out the door.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, who, well, I don't like disrespecting another franchise, but they're struggling. They're a dumpster fire at times.
Right.
But they have the money and they want to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jets are in that mix. And then, of course, the Broncos. And everybody says if Kirk Cousins goes to the Broncos, they are legit all of a sudden.
Right. Right. And I know, Steve, what you're about to get into, the report was – there was a report that came out yesterday that said the Vikings were willing to offer Kirk Cousins – $90 million or $91 million mm-hmm. fully guaranteed contract.
Right. Three-year deal. $30 million a year.
Yeah. That's about what they're going for.
That's what they're going for.
Yeah. Cap's gonna be, the cap's going to be
fully guaranteed. That right
fully
there
guaranteed.
Is the
– that's the game changer.
Yeah. You know, that's the holy grail. Yeah. I remember it.
And he's only, what, 26?
That's what everybody's trying to search with that.
He's like 26, something like that.
Kirk has been in the league, what, 5 years? He's got to be 26.
Yeah, 27, somewhere in there. Yeah. But it's not like, I can do 3 years.
Yeah, but it's smart for him, too, because that's coming up on the new CBA deal, too.
Yeah.
So then the cap will probably take another significant jump. And he's doing this from a business side like NBA players are.
Exactly.
I'll take the 3 year fully guaranteed. It may not be the 150, but I'll take
Cousins
his 90, and then you take another jump.
Yeah. Cousins is 29.
29.
Oh, 29.
He's still a quarterback, so it don't really matter.
He's going to be 30 before the season. August 19th, he turns 30. So he's – he'll get another if he plays well. He'll be 33. He'll get another one, but that's the cap is $177 million and change.
Mm-hmm.
$30 million of it goes to your quarterback, who is good.
He's good.
Let's
he's
put
not
it this
elite.
Way.
He's not.
Good.
He's a step down from the elite. The elite
he's
guys.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'll say go further than that. He's good enough.
Right, and that's all that matters, because if you pay $30 million over the net and you're able to get a Super Bowl out of it, it's money well spent, right? I mean, for me, if I insert him on that roster based on the quarterbacks they had last year in Minnesota, I'd say he's a step up from those guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sure.
If I'm him, I'm looking at the situation and I'm saying, okay, if that's the truth, $91 million guaranteed, all right, I'll take that because I know I can re-up in a couple of years.
Right.
So the money, the business side is that.
I could
but
not.
But then that's a – That's a team that's like, I can go there and win now.
I wouldn't even take time to sign that deal.
I'm
rubber stamp it.
That's what you do if it's out there.
As soon as your agent calls you, you're like, why'd you call me with that? You should have signed it yourself. What are we talking about?
Five copies. Boom, 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 rubber stamp all the way down. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, now, there were reports that came out today. Yeah, Von Miller, Emmanuel Sanders, mm-hmm. C.J. Anderson, all actively recruiting him to Denver.
Exactly.
Try to get him to Denver.
Got to.
Now, have you been in a situation like that on one of your teams where you're starting to try to recruit a guy to get to your team?
Yeah, when I was in Arizona, Brian Arakpo, I played with him in Washington. He had came up, and we was at a golf tournament. So, I was out there whispering in his ear, hey, man, come on, man, we're going to be really good.
Yeah.
And he ended up going to Tennessee, and I actually might have got cut that year, so it wouldn't have been a good bet for me. I was in Oakland, he was in Tennessee.
Yeah, there you go.
So, it wouldn't have worked at all.
Oh, man, that's funny. Well, were you in, like, a foursome? And the golf out?
No, we were just out there hanging out.
Oh,
I was in a different group. But, I mean, I know Rack, so I was in his ear the whole time. Or anytime I see him on the cart driving by, hey, man, we got a spot for you here. You know?
Listen, and I'll tell you what.
It was like, what's going on
my spot?
But here's the thing. And the big movement around the NFL is that the Denver Broncos are a quarterback away.
Yeah.
They're not even an okay quarterback away.
Right.
Like a halfway decent quarterback.
Because they think about Peyton Manning and how they went with that.
And they did it. And you know, you think about it, they could have gone to four straight Super Bowls with Peyton Manning.
Right.
And they got lost on the championship game when Baltimore beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl 47. Remember, Peyton Manning got beat by Joe Flacco overthrowing the Hail Mary.
Yeah, right.
They didn't go that year. They should have. They would have gone that
year. Yeah,
yeah.
Because they had them beat.
Right.
Then they got spanked.
Right. Then they
got. They got
crushed by the Seahawks the next year.
From the first play of the game, it was like, ooh.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what they're thinking. They think if they get another guy in there that's as good as Peyton Manning was the year before he sat down. Yeah, they think – I'm not so sure they're that close, but they're putting that out there thinking that –
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they figure, you know, bringing in a guy like Kirk, their offense is going to automatically be more efficient. I mean, defensively, I don't think they were that good, but they played a lot of snaps because the offense has continually put them in bad situations and putting them out on the field. So, obviously, offense helps defense. Defense helps offense. It's always going back and forth. And with the Hogs and the guys they have defensively, they're going to always give you a chance to win games. And you insert a guy like Kirk – I think the Denver Broncos is probably even a better team than with the Redskins teams that he's had. He finds a way to win those games because that's kind of the knock on Kirk, right?
Yeah.
He's a good, solid quarterback, but he's not going to win you some of those big games that you need him to do. I don't think he's won a playoff game yet, but he's going to be able to do that with a better team
around
him.
But he's putting up 4,000
yards. Here's the thing, too. The thought would be in Denver, as long as he doesn't lose it, they're going to win it.
Right, and I don't, he doesn't do it. He's not a turnover machine.
He's not
or
a turnover
like
machine.
That.
He actually gives you a little something down the field.
And he's Alex Smith.
And
they traded him for
He's not as good as Alex Smith.
Well, that's not good.
You don't think he's as good as that? Well, Alex gives you another dimension with being able to run the ball with his legs.
Well, yeah, well, Kurt doesn't do that. Yeah. And Alex Smith has been a guy who – I mean, that's what was coming out. After the Redskins made the trade for Alex Smith, all we heard coming out from people not all around
right.
was saying, yeah, you know what, that is kind of an upgrade.
But look at the weapons he's had. He's had Kelce.
Alex Smith?
Well, Alex Smith
listen,
has some weapons.
Listen, in his career, and the best weapon he had was Andy Reid.
Right, that too.
Andy Reid was running the show, and he got him
some guys.
Right, and then, I mean, the same thing you can say about Kirk when he had Kyle there, Shanahan. And when they had D-Jack and Pierre Garçon on the outside, that's probably the best year he had, and they still didn't want to pay him. So I don't know if it's quite an upgrade. We'll see, you know, fitting into the Jay Gruden offense and then the lack of weapons they have outside because Jordan Reed can never stay healthy for the Redskins. So I don't really know if it's going to be a step up or if he's better. I think he's just been in better systems maybe.
Well, how big of a difference will it make with those guys actively recruiting
him?
If he has some sort of history with those guys and they're actively recruiting
him. Let me
tell
you something.
I'm going with 91 million is three guarantees. If they ain't close to that or in the vicinity of that, he can win in Minnesota.
Right. probably he'll win and go deeper than the Broncos. The Broncos, they're close, but like they're losing a key to lead. They're losing some pieces out there in Denver.
Right.
You know, so I think their window is closing fast.
Yes, I agree.
On Denver, which is why they'll probably entertain 91 million guaranteed.
I'll tell you what, I don't know about all this. I hear it all the time about these quarterbacks that are on the cusp, like Cousins. And you know, Andy Dalton's got all the weapons he could ever want down in Cincinnati with A.J. Green and, you know, Sanu. And all that. They didn't make him into an elite quarterback. I don't think you could have A.J. Green and Julio Jones and, you know, Calvin Johnson come out of retirement and all go to the same team. Your quarterback if he's not the guy, those guys aren't going to look any better, and they're not going to make him any better. The guy who makes everybody better is the guy that's pulling the trigger. I played with Jim, and I hung around. I was on a team with Warren Moon. I was on and I hung around and watched the Pro Bowl with guys like John Elway and all these guys.
Elite
quarterbacks make chicken salad.
Yeah, you can't look at it through that lens, They look everybody look bad. They just gave three Hall of Famers.
That made Kirk Cousins look like he's getting paid. Yeah. What?
That's right.
You're right. I'm with you, Steve. You're right. I can't even argue that.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, A-Rod, Drew Brees.
Listen,
ones that can get into that conversation.
Same thing. Peyton Manning in his prime. You go down the list, all these guys.
You're right.
They made chicken salad out of chicken poop.
Yeah, right. That's what made them elite, though.
So I'm not a fan of all these quarter like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins never had no weapons, you know, and Tyrod never had no weapons, and Andy Dalton. You can't say that about Andy Dalton, but they were in the playoffs for seven straight years too. You know, I don't buy that about these guys never had any weapons because you got an offensive coordinator.
Well, I'm not saying they never had any weapons. I mean, because he's had D-Jack and Pierre, and he was with Kyle Shanahan. I'm just saying that helps you win games. He's not the guy that's going to transcend and have a whole bunch of undrafted guys like a Tom Brady can and go out there and still win 12, 11 games. He's not that caliber of quarterback.
You are right.
Yeah. But he is a solid
quarterback. Why am I paying him?
Because that's what the position
20%
yields.
Of my salary cap.
I'm not mad at it. I'm with you, man. I'll put some of that money in my pocket. I'm constantly looking, too, why the quarterback is making
that
much.
Hey, that's the whole debate.
But that's the reality of our league for whatever reason.
It really is the reality. All right.
Let me take a deep breath. Pull me off the ledge.
We got to get to a break here. It's the John Murphy Show. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about some combine stories. Shaquem Griffin.
Yeah.
And Saquon Barkley. And compare those stories. Lorenzo, you had some thoughts on Saquon Barkley and how good he did at the combine. So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. We got a question as well. Would the Bills actually match $91 million guaranteed?
No.
Don't see that happening. But we can talk about that as well.
No.
And you can call in as well on the other side of this thing. It's the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
And welcome back to the John Murphy Show, a special players-only edition. Donald Jones sitting in for Murph as he's still out battling something. We got Steve Tasker to my left and Lorenzo Alexander all the way to the left. He's spending a little bit of time with us. Tried to get him, but, you know, we all know how that goes with Lorenzo. Well, he'll big time you every now and then.
If they start paying me, I'll come, but, you know.
You'll come, like, at the drop of a dime like that? Like 10 minutes before the show?
Yeah, if they say, hey, we'll give you XYZ, then I can justify that to my wife.
We got lunch coming. I mean,
lunch.
Free lunch.
Yeah, lunch matters.
Lunch is free upstairs.
Not for all of us. Not for all of us.
He's not into those.
I could, but they stopped cooking.
I'm also not up for a protein smoothie.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's not leverage for me.
I'm more of a greasy chef.
It got to be money. Man, you see what type of person
I'm having a good time. You know, it's not too often. A lot of players don't get to hang out with one of their idols. So hanging out, I know Steve doesn't like this.
Thank you.
No, it has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. But the reason why I play special teams the way I do is because of this man right here, the Danny Smith connection. He used to always talk about him, show videos of him. So having that, being able to hang out with my man made it easy to come in. If you told me he was going to be here all day, I might have came and hung out for 3 hours.
Yeah. So listen, you didn't want to just hang with me for 3 hours.
I tell people, my entire the highlight reel of my entire career lasts 30 seconds, and there's repeats in it. ain't nothing going on there.
This guy, man. He'll tell you he didn't even play in the NFL. Right, he'll tell you he didn't even play.
We all know he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right, exactly.
It is what it is.
He's like, I shouldn't even be on the Wall of Fame. Hey, so the Combine wrapped up Monday, and there were some big-time storylines out of the Combine. And I remember talking to you last week on the show, and everybody's talking about Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
And the times that he did. The craziest thing with Saquon Barkley is we knew what he was going to do. If you paid attention to him in high school, if you are on social media at all, you see the videos of him putting up crazy numbers, 40 times, bench, all of that stuff,
right.
Olympic lifts, everything. Mm-hmm. So we knew what he was going to do. Shaquem Griffin, on the other hand, the kid out of Central Florida, twin brother, plays for the Seahawks.
Right.
Yeah. Linebacker, hand.
Born without a hand.
Well, right. It was 4 years old, I think.
They had
to have the surgery and cut his hand off. But he's learned how to really deal with this thing.
Right.
And I don't think anybody expected him to put the numbers that he put up.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, you know that his hand, or not, the lack of having one of his hands, his left hand, I think he's learned how to overcome that throughout his lifetime. You know, obviously he's probably been bullied and had to go through all the setbacks of not having it, have to learn different ways to do the same thing other kids have done.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to come across as I'm not honoring that limitation, but he's learned how to do it. It's not like it just happened. So it's amazing that he's able to overcome all those trials as growing up, but now he's confident and comfortable with it. He has, you know, out there swagging out. Balling, we know the guy can play football.
Right.
Yeah. So for me, it didn't really wow me because I watch his film and it's like, oh, this dude is balling. He just doesn't happen not have a left hand.
Right. He's got two things working against him. One, his hand.
Yeah.
The second one, he's a pass rusher and he's 6'1", and he weighs 227 pounds.
Right.
His twin brother that's playing in Seattle is a corner.
It's a corner.
So he's a twin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the size you're looking at. So
did the speed shock you at all with that
size?
See,
I'll tell you what. No, because I'll tell you what. You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. You saw those guys,
right.
Like Miles Jack.
Yeah, that boy.
He's little.
He's little.
He's built like that.
Right.
And he can run.
Exactly.
And he can play. And there's a space, and the league is changing to where you get guys with all the wideouts that can run and all the three wide you get and the four wide or the three wide with a back who can run like Shady.
Right.
You got to have guys that can scoot.
Yeah, and I see him being able to do that. Maybe he can't play defensive end, I don't think, because of the hand, just because of bigger guys holding on to him. I don't know if he can create the leverage. Maybe he can. Maybe he can prove me wrong in that.
Mm-hmm.
But backing him up, letting him play that wheel linebacker, covering guys in the slot, backs out of the backfield, and then just be able to flow to the ball and run to the ball. You know, it's a little bit different hand usage when you have guys coming up to the second level, because then it's more of a shock and get around versus a shock and control type of technique. So he definitely would, I think, be able to strive in that under the right coaching.
Yeah, it limits him in the hand-to-hand combat stuff, you know,
in the
hand fighting and all that stuff that you get as a pass rusher.
Right.
But when you're backing up and you're covering guys, it's about your legs.
No question. You know, and actually, I don't know how he tapes it. I haven't seen it. But, you know, talking to Kyle Williams, I think he broke his hand 1 year and had it taped up. And just use that thing as a little little weapon there. And say, that thing hurt a little different.
What was that? Just poked me in my ribs.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of football cards with me, and I got a cast.
Yeah,
on
right.
You know, and there are certain things you have to do. You can play with it, but you have to have a foam padding around it and tape it. So once you start putting, you put the cast on, you tape that because you put it, you make it in two pieces so you can get it off and wash and stuff.
Right.
You put that on, you tape it, then you put the padding on, you tape that.
Right.
And all of a sudden you got this thing, and even though you're injured, particularly after you've been injured for a week or so and you're still wearing that, it don't hurt no more.
Right.
So it's like,
yeah,
bring it. You know, I got something for you. Yeah. You know, I'm going to hit you in the solar plexus with this club I got. Mm-hmm. See what you can, and but by the same token, I mean, you got to do some things if you're going to tape it up. And in the films I've seen, I don't even know if he has it covered.
I
didn't see it. I've seen him out there with it, no tape on it, nothing, and actually just making plays.
Put a club on that thing, bro, and let's use it.
Right, let's use this thing as a weapon. Shoot, there's a lot of things you learn once you get into things like that, little tricks of the trade. But which one of these guys had the bigger storyline coming out of the combine, in your opinion?
I think one of the thing that followed Saquon Barkley around was the fact that we've seen a running back throw up a 4.3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've seen a running back bench press the house. We've seen a running back jump out. You know?
Right.
We've seen a long, broad jump. But this guy did everything. I mean, he was off the charts in everything.
And then his film, the line.
And the film.
Right.
And when you get him on film and you're looking at him doing jump cuts and running around people and running over guys, running through traffic, running through arm tackles, not afraid to go through a tight space,
right,
not afraid to bounce it outside, catches it.
Yep, and being 230 doing all this.
Right. Yeah. He's big. He's like Chris Ivory. He's like Chris Ivory.
Yeah.
So that's when it's like – guys are looking like, wow, man, this guy's
he's a game changer.
Yeah, game changer. He really is.
With those numbers, and you look at the film, and you guys are like, man, this dude is a game changer. He is the complete package. If you're the Browns sitting at number one, and you have the fourth overall pick,
take him.
You can't. You got to take him.
Because all the quarterbacks are kind of muddled right there.
He won't be there at four.
No, he won't.
Yeah.
Giants are taking him. Your team.
Bills radio right now. What are you doing?
Two or three of those quarterbacks will be there.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He won't.
Right.
You take him. That means there's two teams left that can take one of those two. Even if they take Darnold and Rosen.
Right.
You get Mayfield. You get Allen. If they take Allen or Mayfield, you get Rosen or Darnold. You got your pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree with you completely. That's where I'm going.
If I'm the Giants or the Colts, I'm calling the Browns like, hey, what's up, man? Let's flip over. Because, I mean.
But you just moving one. I mean, yeah, they're not going to take that.
They're not going to take it.
You can try, I guess.
But you seen it happen last year. You know, the Bears jumped up one spot and gave up a lot to get one spot up to get Trubisky out of North Carolina.
And I'll tell you what, they're happy they got him.
Yeah.
I saw Trubisky play. I covered one of their games with the Jets late in the year.
Right.
And I was like, man, he looks really good.
Who did they switch with last year?
Looks
who
really
had the
good.
Number one pick?
I believe it was San Fran.
That's
San
right.
Fran. And who did they take?
I can't even remember.
I don't even know. Huh?
I can't. Boy, it was. I thought it was a.
Well, they'd be kicking themselves.
Didn't they take a D lineman out of Stanford?
Yeah, I don't.
Know. I don't know. I don't remember who they took last year, but they went up like one spot.
See,
and they gave up a lot.
See how we forgetting that? If the Cleveland does that, they'd be kicking themselves in the butt. They gave up. Barkley?
Yeah, you're not going to forget Barkley.
Yeah,
I mean, Barkley. That's like, wait,
the guy they took was not like Barkley.
Right,
that's my point.
and truth be known, I mean, and I said this yesterday too, there ain't no way Saquon Barkley is a bust.
No.
And any one of those five quarterbacks we're talking about could be a flame out after four games. It could be Ryan Leaf all over again.
And then plus with him, he makes whatever quarterback you have back there better.
Easier. Yeah, exactly.
You take a lot of pressure off of him, a lot of pressure off the line. You don't have to block as well when you have an athlete like that that's going to make you look good. It just makes your whole organization just roll smoother and gives a little bit more leeway for that, whoever that quarterback is, whether it's one that's currently on their roster or a guy you draft. More time to develop to become that guy if they ever do.
You got to take them because you have a position where, I mean, they are in the best position in the draft. People talk about the Bills. The Bills are in a great position with two picks in the first round. But the Browns, two picks in the top five.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you got to take Saquon Barkley and then take one of those quarterbacks and let those guys. You still have Josh Gordon who looked like he still has some juice left in the tank. You still can draft some receivers. And let those guys go out there and just make plays and grow together.
Don't forget you're playing in Cleveland. So half your games are going to be ugly games anyway. You ain't going to be throwing the ball that much.
Right,
you want
to be
able to ground and pound it. And he's a guy that can carry that load as well.
He can. No,
where do it makes sense in so many different ways.
Shaquem Griffin, where do you think he comes off the board?
See, I really don't know. I mean, obviously he has great film. He had a great combine as well. But it's all about how they perceive him and him using his hand. If he's going to be a defensive end type or a linebacker, can he make that transition?
Right.
I mean, that's where it kind of gets sticky because people look at – and whether or not you're good at it or not, they look at that hand and say, oh, that's a limitation. I'm not quite sure about it. So I would say, you know, third, fourth round. I think his draft, maybe moving him up to the third round is people taking him because he did do well catching the ball in the drills and stuff as well.
Right.
He was able to catch the ball. So it's all about who has the power in that room when his name comes up as far as – we want this kid, and they can listen and move forward with it.
Yeah, and I think that's the interesting thing about it. I don't think any of us disagree. He's going to be somewhere.
Right.
He is good enough to earn a spot in an NFL training camp. Now, and all three of us know, that's just a roll of the dice if he can make that roster as a pair to this roster right here, you know. But I don't think there's any question the kid is going to be in an NFL camp with somebody. Somebody's got to – they invited him to the – combine for a reason.
Right.
He was very productive in college. He's got great wheels. He was a great pass rusher. The question is, are they going to give him a chance to drop off the ball and cover people? And that's
I made the transition, and I'm looking at him, his athleticism. He's a way better athlete than I ever was. So obviously, being around the right coach.
Tell people what you weighed when you came out.
Yeah. I was 315. I'm saying even now he's a way better athlete. Even though I am 35, but I am still competitive. So he has the ability to come off the ball. Now, he has to be in a system where he has a coach, because a lot of coaches in the NFL can coach X's and O's. Some coaches struggle with coaching technique and scheme as far as how to play that position, especially when you have a guy that hasn't done it before.
Right.
So has to be maybe some veterans in that room, a good coach that can help him with those things.
Yeah, you
got to
back up. You got to back up. Some of these pro coaches don't go back to
the basics,
high school or college.
And you need
saying,
that.
Okay, you got to put your feet like this and put your hand placement
and little things
here,
like
and back
that
up,
you need.
This is how you, they don't. They go.
They
know,
go straight ball, talking ball, scheme, schematic.
Yeah, this is your guy.
System,
this is your
right,
area.
Yeah.
This is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. But you're right. It may take some. It may take a developmental year. It may take a year on the practice squad. But, you know, I think it's going to be fun to watch him. Certainly we're going to get a look at him in the preseason.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're going to get to another break because we got a fun segment on the other side of the break. We're going to talk some 40 times with Lorenzo and maybe some people here in the building on the business side of this thing.
Have they ran 40s?
No, they haven't ran 40s.
Oh,
but
they should.
We have to get a bracket.
We're going to talk about this a little bit. We're going to talk about this a little bit as Roger Goodell ran his 40 last week. So we're going to talk about that.
I don't know about that.
On the other side of the, on the other side of the break.
It was a nice 35-yard dash, Commissioner.
Right.
It's the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Wow.
Crazy.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show. I'm here with Lorenzo Alexander and Steve Tasker. Before we went to break, we started to talk about 40 times, and we know Rich Eisen of NFL Network does this every year now, and it's become a huge thing, and he's raising money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Yeah, it's a great idea, and you see the videos come out every year of people all over the country running 40s, which are some of them are faster, some of them are slower. Rich Eisen's is slow. And
5'9".
But I like the effort he puts forth.
He puts a good effort.
It's a good effort. 50-something probably?
At least his coat kind of goes behind him.
It looks
like he's moving.
I put on my thin coat.
Looks like he's moving.
He got to make one of those videos this year, too. Like the combine videos.
Kind of like styling and stuff in slow-mo.
Yeah.
They got the superimposed who's running. Did you see them put him on with the guys running the same? They'd give him a 10-yard head start.
Oh, yes. And they catch up to him.
It's amazing.
Every year, that's funny.
That's when you really get an idea how bad they run.
There was a video of Roger Goodell running his 40, which I believe was probably 35 yards. I believe it was at the NFL headquarters. Not sure exactly where he ran this 40, but he's in the middle of a bunch of cubicles in the offices, and he's running his 40. And my thing was, luckily, you know, there wasn't one person that
stepping out of the office.
What? One person that's just like clueless to what's going on. They step out right in front of him.
That ball? So everybody knows he's in the building, right?
True, true.
Yeah. All right, Roger. Listen, they got security. Listen, the guy timing him, saying that was a good 4.5 right there, Commissioner. That was awesome. You look good doing it.
He ran a 5.41. So you know, who knows if it was truly 40 yards. But yeah. Lorenzo, the question I have for you is, and I'll ask you this, Steve, but Lorenzo first, who would you want to see in this building run a 40?
Wow. I would say Jay Harris, our producer.
Jay Harris,
I would love to see him run a 40 and see what he has.
Yeah, he's in my ear saying
I want to see a race between Chris Fischetti.
Oh, and Jay Fischetti.
Yes. And Jay Harris?
Yeah. Chris Fischetti's a little person.
Yes.
And he's awesome.
He would do it.
I love that guy. Would. And, I think my money is on Chris Fischetti.
We should do something like that.
We should,
A Bills 40 and raise some money, similar, something local here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for your hospital. Or something that you do.
Yeah. My money is on Chris Fischetti against Jay Harris.
Let's do it for the Aces Foundation.
Yeah, something like that.
Raise some money.
You know, I would even participate. We do like a little bracket or something. And
listen,
then
we had this conversation.
Based on the times, move some people up, like the superimposed, and have a real race. They used to do that. And then just really do it. And you have a true race versus,
right.
You know.
I have already gone on record. I cannot run a 40. If I run a 40, you have to call 911.
No, you probably could still beat half these
guys. No, I told him my hamstring would roll up like a Venetian blind.
He said he wouldn't make it.
Listen, he's keeping it real.
I don't think I don't really, if I, because you know how it is.
Right.
Once if you're going to go and you're going to go, you go.
Going, I mean, right. You turn it on, he's going.
Yeah. I'm going to go full throttle and I ain't stopping.
He's going to pull something.
It would kill me. It would kill me.
Because mentally, he's like, oh, I got this. His body is like, no, you don't, dude.
You ain't, yeah, no.
Pull it.
There would be an audible noise from my body, man. If I didn't. It would go.
Yeah, you hear it.
Oh, I'd be down face first. Call 911.
All right, well, we're going to let Lorenzo get out of here. But first, before we let Lorenzo get out of here, and we're putting this question out to everybody on Twitter. So you can call us up at 803-0550, outside Buffalo, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. And the question is, who would you actually think could play in the NFL? Non-football player, obviously. So we're talking about an athlete or celebrity outside of the NFL.
Baseball, NBA.
Doesn't matter.
NHL.
Movies.
Oh, man.
Would you think could play in the NFL? So I'm going to ask you that question.
What's my man's name? When we was coming up, it's a rapper. Atlanta. What's his name?
50
he grew
cent.
Up in Virginia Beach, though. He's kind of like that Vic Beach. Era. What is his name?
What are you talking about?
It's going to come to me.
A rapper from Virginia? Like current now?
Yeah, the current rapper. He was hotter than when we was growing up because he was really good.
Like Pusha T?
No. He's Vic's era and grew up with Vic in that era. The name is not going to come to me until I get off of air.
Anybody else? We're going to talk about this with the fans. Steve and I got a bunch of names.
Yeah, we'll take calls, see who can play
in
the NFL.
I'll end up tweeting. I'll tweet in and let you know.
All right, cool. Yeah, we got
it. This guy I know could do it.
I had to put you on the spot.
Yeah, of course you always do. You could have texted me that early, like just the question of the day, so I have a good answer.
I mean, I want to see if you got somebody that knows.
No homework at all.
Why should you prepare for this show when we don't?
Well, you have a whole bunch of notes right here lined up.
Just in case Jay calls me, I'm going to write these notes down, you know, because Murphy's been sick.
Yeah, because other professional athletes is easy, but you know.
Yeah.
But random people that you would never think could do it, but you knew it was nice in high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Listen, coming from my perspective of being a guy, I never really passed the eye test of being a pro athlete because people look at me like you're.
Yeah.
So I'm always a big fan of kind of thinking and tell people this. In every large American city, there's probably a few thousand people that are physically able, big enough, strong enough, fast enough, good enough athletes to do it. But playing pro football is different than a lot of sports because there is a lot of knowledge about the rules, the positions, the techniques, the yada, yada. There's so much you have to be trained in before you can play. So while there is a lot of guys who are probably physically able to do it, you can't because you've never had the training or the proper coaching.
Right, or the resilience or the determination, all that.
Or the willingness to play when you're physically uncomfortable.
As soon as you get hit.
It's
like Mike Tyson. Everybody's got
this coach is yelling and cussing me out. Nah, I can't do this. Nah, I'm good.
Everybody's got a plan until somebody hits you.
That's like Jay Harris was telling me, and he's probably not going to like that I'm saying. But Jay, he tells all. Oh, Nelly,
yeah. He's from St. Louis. I mean, I knew he was in that Vic era kind of coming up. Nelly.
Jay Harris was saying he boxed when he was younger. and he got hit in his nose, and he just started sneezing. And they told him, like, I don't know if this is for you. Oh, man, sorry about that, Jay. But, Lorenzo, thanks, sir.
Oh, yeah,
thanks
anytime.
For joining us.
Good seeing you, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah,
it
was good seeing anytime,
you.
Anytime.
All right, we're going to get to another break. On the other side of the break, we're actually going to have John Jackson from Fox Sports Network West. He covers USC football, and we're going to talk about Sam Darnold and some of the prospects that they have coming out of USC. It's the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Welcome back to the show. Donald Jones, Steve Tasker. Special thanks to Lorenzo Alexander for joining us for the last hour. That 40 thing is funny. I mean, that race between Fischetti and Jay Harris.
Because you got to make it happen.
Jay is actually like pigeon-toed. I don't know if you've ever watched him.
He was telling me in the break he had quick feet.
Yes, quick feet.
Like, bro.
You ever seen him out there on the field?
Come on.
I mean, run around at all. He's got these little hands, and then he's pigeon-toed. So when he runs, I think his toes go in even more, or his feet go
in. Yeah, he's like me as a football player. He's small but slow.
It's just funny to watch him really play or try to catch a football or to do anything athletic. Yeah. So to watch those guys actually race, I bet you Fischetti would win.
I've already said it.
I bet you he'd win. But then, you know, as we started to talk about, and Jay Harris, you know, his pigeon-toed, it's not really a disability. But with Shaquem Griffin and his disability, I think he's going to get drafted. I think he's going to be all
right. You think he'll get drafted?
Oh, yeah.
I think mid-rounds or
I think at least four.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Me too.
I'd love to see it.
He's a guy. Now, he's going to have to learn a lot. But I think on special teams, because of that speed, teams will say, yeah.
You know what? He could play teams.
Yeah. So I have to believe that once he gets on a team, they're going to have him start out at special teams because he can run down the field and just make some tackles for you. And teams are really going to like that. So, yeah, I see him going in the fourth round. Welcome back to the John Murphy Show. Donald Jones, Steve Tasker. We got a players-only edition of the show. But right now we are joined by John Jackson, who is actually – he covers Fox Sports Net West. He covers USC. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. How's it going today?
Doing great.
Yeah, we're good, man. We're good. We wanted to talk to you about some of the prospects coming out of there. But first of all, how's life out there in L.A.?
Well, it's going pretty good. You know, the Trojans just started spring ball yesterday. So, you know, they were able to get – you know, football season is sort of officially started. You know, but there's a lot, you know, there's always a lot going on and a lot of storylines to follow. Of course, you know, losing Sam Darnold was a big key, you know, for the Trojans. So they got to find a way to replace him, which is that's not going to happen. But they're going to have to try to find a close substitute if they plan on having a successful year.
Now, it seems like, though, I mean, they typically have someone right there in the wings to replace a quarterback that's leaving.
Yeah, you know, usually that's the case. And I think that they have two guys. They have Matt Stink, who had very limited reps last year, you know, for the Trojans in terms of playing quarterback. And they also had a guy, Jack Sears, who they redshirted last year in hopes that he would be, you know, become a special player, you know, down the line. So they have two guys. They're really young. Stink is a redshirt sophomore, and Sears is a redshirt freshman. So there's not a lot of experience at that position. Of course, you know, everybody's awaiting JT Daniels, who was a high school freshman at Mater Dei, that will be coming in the fall. He was a five-star, you know, quarterback. But the bottom line is, no matter who you put behind center, there's going to be a lot of youth at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems you have when you have a guy like Sam Darnold taking snaps for the entire year. You don't get a chance to really work guys in, particularly if you're in a conference where you're not in a lot of blowout games where you're going to give a kid like a fourth quarter or whatever. Is this a team like going to turn into an old school Trojans team where they're going to hand it off to a massive tailback and kind of ride him for the season? Is that what you're looking at?
Well, you know, Steve, logic would sort of tell you that, right? Would sort of say, hey, look, you know, forget about throwing the ball. We got to go back to the old school, you know, running attack. But that's just not what they do. I mean, it's not what Clay Helton does as a head coach. It's not what T. Martin does as a play caller. Right. They're going to strive to stay balanced no matter what. And I don't care if it was, you know, you or I back there at quarterback. We'd be throwing the ball. You know, they're going to try to stay balanced and keep the defense balanced. That's what they believe in. And so you know how it is. When you have a philosophy, you know, you're going to follow it. It's just the job of the coaches to get their opinion, the job of the coaches to get the quarterback ready. And he has to be ready to handle the, you know, whatever is in front of him. So I don't think they're going to change at all. I think they're going to, you know, they might taper some things down, but you're going to still see a balanced offense. I don't think they're going to hold back.
All right, well, let's get to some of these guys that are coming out in this year's draft, and in particular, Sam Darnold. Now, you played in the NFL. You're a former USC wide receiver. You played 4 years in the NFL for the Cardinals and the Bears, and so you've seen some NFL quarterbacks, and you know what it's supposed to look like. In your opinion, people have Sam Darnold as possible number one overall, better than Rosen. Now, you hear a lot of people say that Rosen is probably the better, more talented thrower of the two. But for some reason, you see Darnold going before Rosen. So what do you think of Sam Darnold as an NFL prospect?
Yeah, you know, well, let's start with Sam. I think that, you know, he is the real deal. I mean, he has the temperament. He has the mentality. I followed this kid back in high school. I also do the high school broadcast, the high school games here, so I'd had a chance to broadcast his games. And a lot of the things that become the best of his best intangibles are what some people don't even know. In high school, he started his high school career as a receiver and an outside linebacker, believe it or not, because he didn't get a chance to start until really his junior year of high school, and that was because they had they had a quarterback there that ended up going to Utah. He was really good, so you know it just wasn't any opportunities for him. And then in his junior year, he got hurt at halftime in game two, so he didn't have a lot of reps even as a junior. So the one thing that people forget about him is he's really young in terms of number of games played compared to a lot of high school quarterbacks that sometimes are 3 and 4 year starters. So the upside is huge. And I know that everybody will critique, you know, he drops the ball a little bit low and all these type of things. The bottom line is he's a gym rat in terms of, you know, in terms of a football player. Despite getting the 2 years that he's had at USC or, you know, as a starter, he is still very youthful and has great upside. I think that that's what people, the NFL scouts, are going to measure, which is what's going to make him, in my belief, the top quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, one of the things, too, John, that comes out at USC is that the kind of guy he is. I mean, he's got a great upside, but he's also one of those guys that when you get the tape measure out or the 40 time or this combine stuff, he's okay. But when he gets in the game, something happens, and he's a different type of guy. Is that something that has followed him, or is that the truth? I mean, what do you think about that assessment? I've heard that he's more of a gamer than he is a practice player or a combine guy.
Yeah, and what happens, guys, is when you watch him on tape and you watch his film, there's some throws that look like, you know, that are NFL type of throws, even at the college level. And when I say that, it's anticipatory throws. As you guys know, you know, open in the NFL is a step, right? I mean, it's not
right.
Nobody's running wide open anymore. And so as a quarterback, it's really important, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is probably the best at it, in terms of making the throw before receivers even turn their head. You know, you're throwing to an area, which is very difficult to do. Most guys want to see a guy get open and then, you know, use their arm strength to rifle it in there. Well, Sam has the ability to let the ball go, and when you watch film on him, you know, which, of course, we do out here, and you're able to sort of sit in a film room and stop it, you can say, wow, the receiver didn't even turn his head, and he's throwing, and he's already in his throwing motion. It's
right.
already determined
right.
where the ball is going. And so because of that, you know, those type of throws are like what I think are the NFL-type throws. Rosen has a similar type of skill as well. I follow Josh all the way through his high school career as well. And you know, both of them make those, but Sam makes them in big games, and I'm telling you, he has the heart of a lion. He will take chances, not overly aggressive chances, but he'll take chances and make throws that other guys just can't make.
Yeah, we're going to get into these chances that he'll take in a second. But I think the one thing that has him, I guess, above Rosen in some people's eyes is his ability to really make plays, I guess, outside the pocket, you know, and He uses his legs a little bit. You brought up an Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is that style of player. He can throw from within the pocket, one of the best, if not the best, but he can also throw outside the pocket. And I think that's something that scouts like about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about Sam is that, you know, again, going back to a little bit of his high school career, he was a point guard in basketball, right? So, you know, those guys always are playing with their head up and anticipating what's going to happen next. And that's sort of what he does. When he when he scrambles outside the pocket, it's not a scramble to run. It's a scramble to buy some time to give receivers time to uncover, or a scramble to get, you know, to find guys open. And then, of course, when he gets out of the pocket, it's a lot easier throw because there's not a lot of guys standing in front of him. So, you know, he's athletic enough where, you know, he's not necessarily a running quarterback, but he's far from immobile. He can, you know, he can move and run when necessary, but he scrambles to make plays. And you guys know, you know, from experience, is that when you start getting that quarterback, start getting outside the pocket and start running around and looking down the field, that's when it's hard for the defensive backs to keep up, and that's when the big plays happen.
Yeah, John, I want to ask you one more thing. We're talking to John Jackson of Fox Sports West about the USC Trojans and, most importantly, Sam Darnold. Talk to me a little bit about could Darnold really have benefited from maybe hanging around USC one more year? I mean, he's really young, and you said it yourself. He didn't play much in high school. He's coming out as a redshirt sophomore. I mean, talk a little bit about what you think. Was it a smart move for him to come out now? Because you look at this draft class, it's kind of crowded. If he hangs around for another year at USC, would he have gained some experience, also upped his ante even further? Or do you think he's already reached the kind of the top of the college level, being such that he's, you know, one of the top two or three prospects? Should he have stayed in school?
You know, that was a $1 million question that everybody was trying to answer when he was making that decision to come out. And people said exactly that. You know, he just hasn't played enough games. He's too young. Those types of things. At the end of the day, and you know this, is that Sam, could he have come back and really improve? Yeah, but he's going to do the same thing in the NFL, right? I mean, when you're working at it every day, he's going to get drastically better at some of the things that people want to criticize him for. But the one thing is that you had to ask yourself, was he going to be, and I think this is what it came down to, just sort of knowing him and his family. It came down to, where is he going to get picked? And the consensus was top five. And so now, if you do come back for another year, what are you coming back for, right? Instead of being three, you're going to be two, or instead of being four, you're going to be one. I mean, at that point, you're sort of splitting hairs. And of course, as you guys know, it just matters who's drafting at the top, right? If they need a quarterback or not. So when you started to sort of slice it that way, you said he's going to be a top five guy. And I think that there's nothing that he's done so far that's going to change it. I think the things that, you know, the one thing that at the end of the day guys are going to look at is he is not anywhere close to his ceiling. And because of that, it's scary of how good he can be. And that's why I think that he'll cut. That's why I think it was a good decision. And that's why I think that he'll end up getting drafted in the top five picks.
Now, the last question I have on Sam Darnold, and I want to move on to Ronald Jones. But the last question on Sam Darnold, the interceptions, and I know that's something that people really criticize about his game, and I'm sure it's something that is going to give head coaches and GMs pause before they actually take him. Is that something that you feel can get better, or is he just truly sometimes reckless with the ball?
Well, you know, that's another thing. You're right. When you start trying to dice these things out and sort of the critiques, that definitely is one of them, and it's definitely a concern. I would be lying to you if I didn't say it wasn't. But the one thing that, you know, people that are sort of close to SC and sort of understand some of the dynamics is when he played as a redshirt freshman and he was making all those throws, the interceptions were down to, I can't remember the number, but let's say it was seven or something like that. It was a very low number, you know, a good number especially for a redshirt freshman. And everybody expected that number to get better. Well, the one thing they didn't factor in is that he lost both tackles, a guard and a center, right? So he only had one guy that was from the Rose Bowl championship game that he won. There was only one guy that was returning at the same position, you know, the following year. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, he didn't, you know, I mean, you know, you guys know how it is. And trust me, no slap on the USC offensive tackles, but they were young and they were inexperienced. And I'm watching from the press box and couldn't trust them. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, you know, you can only imagine if you're Sam and Ohio State is coming around the corner, right? You know, it's not that easy just to stand in there, you know, knowing, you know, the situation you have in front of you. The good thing for the Trojans, they all returned this year, so they're going to be a year better, which is another reason why people thought Sam might come back. But the bottom line was he did not have the same protection he had the year before, and I think that's what led to a lot of the interceptions in terms of taking chances or maybe throwing the ball a little bit too early or too late because of the movement he had to manipulate in the pocket.
John Jackson joins us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. He covers Fox Sports West, color analyst, also a former USC wide receiver, played 4 seasons in the NFL. All right, USC typically has a few guys coming out, and so we're going to get on to some more prospects that are coming out from USC, and most notably Ronald Jones, the running back from USC. What can you tell us about his game?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I've been covering the Trojans for a long time, and everybody gets better, right? Every year you expect them to get better. Ronald Jones is probably, you know, from my memories, he's going to go down as one of the guys that I remember for really improving, his improvement year over year. And when I say that, a lot of times when you're a good player, which he was a good player as a redshirt sophomore, you know, as a sophomore, he was a good tailback. He was a speed back. He was good. But the thing is when he came to this last year being his junior year, he really attacked what people would perceive his weakness, which was a lot of it was his size, his strength, and his ability to run between the tackles. Everybody knew he has great top-end speed on the outside, but it was the ability to run in between the tackles. Well, he got significantly stronger, where you know, not just you can tell in the weight room, but just you could tell on the field, significantly stronger and just a different player, you know, breaking tackles, running through tackles, and still was able to maintain his speed. So I'm really proud of him, just so I know him as a person, really proud of him, the way that he was able to develop himself. I mean, I think he waited at the combine at like 205 or 206, and he's still running, you know, he'll still run. He didn't run. He pulled up a little bit in the 40 at the combine. But at the end of the day, he's still going to be a 4.4, high 4.4, low 4.5 guy in terms of speed. And, you know, once he gets in the open, it's a wrap. So, yeah, I think that he's going to have a very promising NFL career. He was sort of a no-brainer because as a running back, you don't want to take your chances in coming back for that senior year and getting hurt. And he had a phenomenal year last year. So, you know, outside of Barkley, I think he's going to be up there, you know, one of the second or the third guy to go on a draft day.
Yeah, I was going to ask you as well. I know he pulled up with a pulled hamstring at the combine when he ran his 40. When is – and they may have already had it. When is USC's pro day? Is he going to run again for them or –
Yeah, he'll try to. They're going to try to, you know, obviously they're nursing the hamstring and it's going to depend on how much he can get back. But he's going to try to run it. I mean, one thing about him is he's not going to shy away from the 40 because that's what he does best. I mean, he was the fastest guy on USC's team this year. And a year ago, him and Adoree Jackson were going at it in terms of 40-yard times and trash talking and stuff like that, just to give you an example of how fast he is. So, yeah, so he wants to run that 40. If he can get anywhere close to being in sprinting shape for it, he wants to do it because that will be his strength at the end of the day, is how fast he is from that tailback position in comparison to other backs around the country.
When is that pro day? Do you know off the top of your head, John?
I don't. I think it's going to be like it's mid-March. I think it's March 15th. It's going to be a Wednesday. I can't remember if you guys have a calendar in front of you. It's going to be like around the 15th or 18th or something like that.
Right.
But it'll be on a Wednesday.
John, last question I have, and I know you said you actually covered him, I guess a little bit. You've covered Josh Rosen out of UCLA, you being out there in L.A. What can you tell us about what you've seen from Josh Rosen?
Yeah, you know, he's one of the smartest guys in terms of quarterbacks I've been around. And I'm going back into his high school days. We did a feature on him where it was sort of a one-on-one feature, sort of, you know, like what Gruden does with the quarterbacks. And when I got a chance to sit down and talk to him, X and O's and stuff like that, same with Sam. And his knowledge of the game is just off the charts. I mean, everybody's always said that, but, I mean, it is actually true. And he knows defenses. He knows what to do. He's very, very smart, heady quarterback. The question is obviously his durability, right? I mean, but again, and you guys know this, when you're a quarterback and you can't trust your offensive line, first of all, it's hard to trust them, and second of all, it's hard to stay healthy. And he had problems in both. So where Josh did not perform as high a level as he probably could have, and even though he had great numbers, they would have been even better if that offensive line was better for if he had a better offensive line in front of him. He is tremendous talent. He's very polished, which is why people will some people will like him better than even Sam Darnold because of the polish. But he's always been that way. He's been, you know, he's had a ton of starts at St. John Bosco, his high school, you know, won a state championship. And then, of course, at UCLA, he had a ton of starts as well. So he's different than Sam in that way in terms of the amount of experience he has. He's very experienced. And like I said, very knowledgeable. The question is the durability, but you also have to consider the offensive line he played in front of.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that you've heard about him as well. He is a smart guy. He knows a lot about football. He's, you know, he's one of those smartest guy in the room kind of guys. And sometimes that follows a guy in not such a great way, makes other guys right. feel stupid. And that gives, yeah, and it's true, because guys will get a bad reputation as being arrogant or whatever. And that's not, one of the things you hear about Rosen is, you know, that maybe he's not the sweetest guy in the world, because he gets probably a little bit impatient with the lack of knowledge some of the guys around him may have. I mean, that he does know football. Is that not right, John? I mean,
you are 100% spot on. I mean, he is exactly that guy. I mean, when you sit down and you ask him, hey, if this covers, you got to do this, he's going to say, okay, look, I'm going to drop back and I'm going to look to the left. My eyes are going to pull the safety to the side. He's going to read 1, 2, 3. He's going to break it down perfectly, right? And then if you ask a question, it's not who he's trying to be. It's just his personality. Guys that are smart are oftentimes impatient, right? And that's sort of how he is. I mean, there's no denying it. It's not a knock on he's not trying to embarrass you, or he doesn't have the attitude of overly cockiness or stuff like that. But the bottom line is, he knows what he's talking about. He's smart. And the other thing is, he's confident in what he's doing. So there'll be times that he might even question you, you know, as a coach, why are we doing that? And of course, as you know, coaches are like, what do you mean? Why are we doing that? You know, so, you know, that's sort of, like I said, it's not done in an arrogant or an offensive type of way. He is just that sharp and that smart of a guy that if something isn't right, he's going to, you know, and you can't blame him, he's going to question it. So that's why I think that coaches that have worked with him, whether it be his high school coach or whether it be even at college, never say anything bad about him. Because once you get to know him, you understand that, oh, okay, he's not being a jerk about this. He just really wants to know, or he really wants an explanation, or he really wants to, you know, have a, you know, a suggestion or whatever the case may be. So whoever's his offensive coordinator, it'll work out. I think it'll work out just fine, you know, because like I said, you got to get to know him. But oftentimes, you're exactly right, because he's the smartest guy in the room. And the fact is, he is the smartest guy in the room. That's the one thing that's true about it, that, you know, he, you know, it can come across that way, but it's not that intent. That's not who he is.
John, it's called being a millennial. We look at the world differently and we ask questions.
Right.
Hey, John, thanks for this.
No problem, guys. No problem. Hey, thanks for having me. I'd love to come on anytime.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you. John Jackson, Fox Sports Net West color analyst, former USC wide receiver, played 4 seasons in the NFL for the Cardinals and the Bears. John joins us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Steve, he had a lot to talk about Sam Darnold. We're going to get to this stuff on the other side of the break. But our tweet just went out. An athlete or celebrity that would make it in the NFL. And this stems from a tweet from Juju Smith-Schuster to LeBron James. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. It's the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show. Donald Jones sitting in for Murph. Steve Tasker joining me. Special thanks to a John Jackson from Fox Sports Net West as he started to talk about the quarterbacks out there. Which one of these guys is your favorite quarterback in this year's draft?
I think it's Josh Rosen. I like Josh Allen as well. Because of his physical abilities, he
right.
can throw it, and he's mm-hmm. he's big, strong, looks like it, you know. But that's, and we both know that's never the be-all, end-all when the guy has all the measurables. But, you know, as a guy that you look at with the strong arm and the big, strong body and all that, Josh Allen's the guy. But Rosen is a guy that has kind of the pro qualities. He's a smart guy, sharpest guy in the room, a little impatient with people who can't keep up mentally.
Mm-hmm.
has a little bit of a reputation for, you know, asking some things of his guys around him, right. You know, which is important. Played pretty well on a team, as you heard John Jackson say, on a team with a pretty bad offensive line, and played well. So right now he, I think, is the guy. And we've been talking about Saquon Barkley being the first pick for the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rosen won't be there when they pick at 4.
No, he won't. He'll be gone. He's definitely out of there in the first couple of picks. Now, I feel like we might have some news coming out soon on Richard Sherman. We'll wait on that to see. Might be some trade action with Richard Sherman out there in Seattle. Nothing's come out officially yet, so we'll go ahead and leave that one alone. But we put a tweet out, and the tweet, we got to talking about this because of a tweet from Juju Smith-Schuster to LeBron James.
Yeah.
Right, and he tweeted at LeBron and is trying to recruit LeBron to come to the Steelers. And he said LeBron would make a great NFL player. And a lot of people have talked about LeBron being able to play in the NFL. He played tight end. I just watched over the last couple of days, I just watched that documentary on his high school basketball team. And obviously I went to Youngstown State, so I knew a lot about that school, St. Vincent, St. Mary's. He played football and was an all-state tight end.
Yeah, no doubt.
For that, because the dude is like 260 and like 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah. 6'8", 260, can run faster than anybody. And can you imagine how easy it would be for him to catch a football compared to a basketball?
Man, what?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know.
And he's there's a couple other guys up there. And you and I were talking in the break, and we've gone down the list, but you're talking about guys in other sports who could play in the NFL. That's our question. It's not so much that, you know, like you got a rapper that can play hoops or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a guy who could line up and play in the NFL physically. And I still to this day think that Shaquille O'Neal is, I think, got to be almost 50.
Mm-hmm.
He could play left tackle right now. 7 feet, 1 or 2, and weighing way over 3 bills.
Yeah, yeah.
He could play left tackle right now.
I wouldn't have to move much. So we want to get your thoughts on it. An athlete or celebrity that's outside the NFL. So an athlete outside the NFL, basketball, baseball, soccer,
NBA.
Boxing. Yeah, NBA, NHL, it doesn't matter.
All that stuff.
Or just a celebrity, actor, actress.
Listen, let me tell you something. There ain't no actors or actresses out there.
That you
None.
Feel like can play in the NFL.
None.
And we want to get your thoughts on it. You can tweet us at DAJones19, obviously at The John Murphy Show. You can tweet Steve at Steve Tasker.
89. Yeah.
Or you can call us at 803-0550, outside Buffalo, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Now, we thought about a bunch of names earlier in the office. We threw out a bunch of names, and there were some good ones.
Oh, yeah.
And you brought up Shaq, as Shaq is like, you know, 7'12".
Yeah.
And he's huge. And he's huge.
Long
yeah.
arm, athletic. He could play left. He could have played left tackle when he was 15.
Mm-hmm.
That's how big he was. And you got to think about it. I mean, that's a guy that is athlete enough and used to, you know, physical, using your body to block people off. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But we said, and I think this is right, you could take most point guards in the NFL and mm-hmm. make them number one wideouts.
Right.
Guy like Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like he can scoot.
He can scoot.
And they can catch. You mm-hmm. know, they can do that. There's guys, DeRozan up in Toronto here. He could do it. You can go down the list.
Basketball players could definitely do it, especially the point guards. Those guys are like 6'4"-ish, 6'3", to 6'5".
Yeah, sometimes taller.
In that range. So you're talking about, especially a Westbrook.
And they get out and run, too. Yeah.
That dude can run.
Yeah.
He is probably the fastest point yeah. guard in the league.
You can talk too, and one of the guys, Jeff Matthews, brought up says, you know, you think about it, Allen Iverson back in the day played safety.
Yeah.
He could have roamed back there and done
yeah.
that too. So
Allen Iverson.
There's some guys on the other side of the ball. Not too many guys in the NBA could go to the other side of the ball on defense and play in the front seven.
No. You can see guys doing it at the tight end position. We've seen it in the past.
You could see LeBron as an edge rusher.
LeBron could probably do an edge rusher. Definitely. I think Russell Westbrook could get it done. A guy like John Wall probably can get it done. He's something in that range. Another name that we brought up, Dwight Howard.
Yes.
Now, when you look at Dwight Howard,
He's big.
He's big. He has the big shoulders. He's ripped. He's ripped up. Not sure about his arms and how long his arms
are. I'm telling you, for a guy 7 foot, he's got like 6'2" arms, 6'2" inch arms. He does not have a big wingspan.
Yeah.
But at seven foot, he could play tackle or something like that too. He could probably do it with the hand stuff, and he could also.
Did you see him as a tight end?
Maybe. The problem with those guys, their pad level would be so high.
Yeah.
They would have to go down so low to keep guys from getting inside them and into their feet and their legs, you know.
Right.
It'd be hard for them to release off the line at the end of the line of scrimmage. Now, you think about it, you could put LeBron at slot receiver. I mean, you know.
Yeah, LeBron is physical. Number one.
Right. You could move those guys out and as a tight end, flex them out for sure. I don't know how willing a blocker they'd be because everybody, you know, playing pro football sounds really good until you got to block a big dude on the other side, you know, who's nasty. So I don't know what their mentality would be like. But physically, there's a lot of NBA guys who make the transfer over, I think, because their athletic abilities.
I don't think Dwight Howard is soft as baby poop on the basketball court. So I just don't see him playing in the NFL.
I didn't know that, is he?
Yeah, he's soft. That's always been his knock.
That's his knock?
Yeah, that's always been his knock. That's why he's never become one of the greatest in everybody's eyes because he's just soft. He's just a big –
Let me tell you something.
Physical-looking dude, but, I mean, he gets bullied out there on the basketball court.
You can't be soft and play in the NFL. I mean,
nah.
You know, you think about a guy like Jonathan Martin. That was his problem. He wasn't emotionally equipped to play. He's, 6'5", 315 pounds. But, emotionally, he'd been through so much in his life, he couldn't do it. And, you got to want it if you're going to – you can't be soft. You cannot be soft.
So we got this tweet in from Anthony Lockhart. And it says, Steve Tasker says no actors could play. What about The Rock?
Nope.
The Rock obviously is an actor for a reason.
The Rock played at the University of Miami with all those other jokers who won a national championship, and he didn't play.
Right.
He didn't play. Couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
He wasn't good enough.
Made a great decision, though, to
go and act. But by the same token, you look at him on the movies. Now, there's a PED rule in the NFL. You can't use – I'm not so sure that if you're playing, superhero that you can't – enhance your ability to look nice through chemicals.
He and Vin Diesel.
Yeah, there's no rule against PEDs in the motion picture.
Right, in the motion picture. So
they can look as good as they want.
Now, here's a name that we threw out in the office as well, and we're talking about non-NFL athlete or actor that could actually play in the NFL. And we're going to get to some calls here, but we got a tweet from M. Jordan. Usain Bolt.
Oh, yeah. We brought that up in the pre-show discussion. Yeah, that guy can scoot. Now, the only thing about a track guy, and I've had run-ins with a couple of different track guys. Some of them were really good. Hussein, listen, he's 6'5", and I think he runs a pretty good 40.
Right.
So
I don't know about that, though, because his starts are typically slower.
Bro, his slow starts are like 4-0. That guy can go. Now, here's the thing. Now, you got to, it's the physical aspect of the game that would be the question mark for him. And plus, even if you're going to put him out wide, if they find out you can't do it, they're going to put a guy like Richard Sherman or even Tre'Davious White or E.J. Gaines or whoever you want to put, they're going to be right up on you. And 6'5 doesn't scare them. I mean, let's go.
Right.
And they're going to do their best to beat you up for that first 5 yards. And if that takes you out of your route, you're done. But by the same token, if Hussein Bolt gets 5 yards down the field, you can't catch him.
Yeah.
You better latch on.
Man, what? Safeties don't even want it. You can't play off because he's going to run by you. You better play up on him and bump him at the line.
You just got to turn it into a fist fight against Hussein Bolt. But that's another guy
He could make it happen.
That would, if you're defending him, you're thinking you've got to come up with some kind of plan because you cannot let him open it up.
All right. What non-NFL athlete, actor, do you think could play in the NFL? We want to get your thoughts. 803-0550 outside Buffalo. Toll free 1-888-552-550. Or you can tweet us, but we're going to get to the phones. We're going to go first to Jay in Toronto, who has a thought. I've been seeing this a lot on Twitter. Let's see if I can pull this up here. Jay, are you there?
Hey, I'm here, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Aaron Judge, the Yankee outfielder,
he's
an awesome tight end.
Yeah, you're right. He's 6'7", 282, and you don't have to run too hard to first base when you're hitting it out of the park or striking out. But I don't know what his speed is. I'd like to see if he could keep up with a guy like Gronkowski, who's 6'6", 265, so he's like a half a notch smaller than Aaron Judge. I think one reason guys go to baseball instead of other sports is because they don't like the contact. You know? I think so. Yeah.
I don't want to get hit.
It's easier money. If you can make it to the bigs, it's much easier money.
And more money.
And your career's longer.
Right. A lot more money guaranteed.
Yeah, and – yeah, so it's no question Aaron Judge made the right call going to Major League Baseball, being as successful as he's been.
The average guys in baseball make quarterback money in the NFL. So
that's correct.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the smart
move. He made the smart move. But you're right. That's a guy you kind of have to say, you know what? I'll invite him to camp. That's for sure.
Right. Like, just off his size.
I want to see what he says.
just off his size.
But that's a guy. That's a good one.
Let's go to Jonathan in Alden. He has one for us. Jonathan, are you there?
Yeah, great show. I pretty much agree with you. Usain Bolt, I think, would be a great running back because he's a great player. Because he's the fastest track runner. So, but I also want to nominate Arnold Schwarzenegger. How do you think Schwarzenegger would look in the NFL?
Arnold, well, he's kind of in the same ballpark as The Rock. You know, a lot of PEDs in there. You think? Not really sure. But see, that's what happens when you see these big, physical-looking people.
Well, you can't get caught up in that look, man. You can't get caught up in it.
Just because they're big and physical.
Even Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was 26 or something, now he's like, well, he's older than me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But even in his prime, no.
He'd get hit and be like, get to the locker room.
See, I heard a thing, too. Lou Ferrigno, back when he was younger, he went out for football and was a big, strong kid. And actually, in the first play of his practice or whatever, he broke a kid's leg or broke two guys' legs or something like that. It was some freak accident. And he quit right then and there. He never went back. So Lou Ferrigno, the guy who used to play the Hulk in the old 1970s TV show, had given it a swing when he was a kid or younger, and it didn't go well for him, not because he couldn't play, but because, you know, he injured another guy. So you can make a case for him, I guess.
All right, we're going to get to another call. This is Ill in Ontario. Ill, are you there? Let's see. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
All right.
Cutting out or anything like that. The guy that I was thinking of when you guys were talking about this just popped into my head was the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
He's 6'9", 403 pounds. He used to play basketball, although he did hurt his knee. Broke the world record for deadlifts. It was like 1,041 pounds or something.
Yeah, that guy's. I've seen that guy on camera. Yeah, he's big. And if he was athletic enough to play left even guard, there's no doubt his physical size gives him the in right there. I mean, that's a good one right there. That's maybe the only actor that I can think of that would.
I can do it.
Yeah, because he's got a little bit of something in him. He's huge. He's absolutely enormous, weighing over 400 pounds. But he doesn't. And if you see him on camera, everybody looks even heavier than what they look normally. But this guy, that's a good one. The Mountain from Game of Thrones.
What about the guy?
He could be my left tackle.
I'm not sure of his name. I have to look it up. But the guy who played Michael Lohr in The Blind Side.
Yeah, you know what? When they came out with that movie, the story was that he was too big. He was too heavy. He was a gamer. He was kind of a softy.
Who played the left
tackle. He had to lose an enormous amount of weight to get into shape for that role. So while he has the size, he was young enough even at the time that he made that movie that if he wanted to do it, he could have done it. Yeah. He didn't. So
we got some more tweets in here. Agent 47 says Mike Trout from the Angels.
He's a baseball. Yeah, I mean, maybe.
He's a B. You got something against baseball players.
Well, I know. Listen, those baseball guys, if you can make it to the majors, you made the right call. Mike Trout, they may have some guys there that are physically capable of doing it with size, speed, and the dedication to doing it.
Yeah.
They've certainly proven their ability to focus enough to make it to the highest level of another sport. That's another guy that probably would get an invitation. What position he'd play? I mean, he's got that baseball mentality of a linebacker. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that translates because – Nobody hits each other in baseball.
Right.
So it's a different mentality. I like his attacking attitude, though. I mean, he's got that nasty me against the world attitude. So I like that. That's a good one.
What about Terry Crews?
I don't even know who that is.
Terry Crews does the Old Spice commercial.
Well, he played.
Know, he makes his chest bounce and all that stuff. Yeah,
that's a PED like a thing, too, man. I mean, he might. Now, he probably – I would be surprised – at a guy like that who hadn't already brushed with it,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that he's not probably says he couldn't. Michael Clark Duncan's been who's the guy that played in the Green Mile.
Yeah.
He's no longer with us.
He was a big dude.
He was a big dude. But also he was a guy that, you know, probably had his chance to do it and probably couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. You know, I think people – because people look at the size of people, period, and would think, well, that guy could probably play in the NFL. But there's athleticism. It's not just about the size. Now, you look at a guy like 50 Cent. And the 50 Cent is a big, physical-looking dude. And you would think, man, that dude would probably make a good linebacker or something like that in the NFL. But then you watch his athleticism on tape. And, you know, there's video of him throwing out a first pitch. And I believe he's done this on multiple occasions as he's tried to go out there and throw a first pitch. And he did this last season at a Mets game. He threw out the first pitch.
Lefty.
He's a lefty. But the ball did not end up anywhere near home plate.
Yeah.
And it's not even the fact of where the ball ended up because, you know, some people just don't have it in terms of throwing a baseball. It's how he looked, though, throwing it. He looked like
– he never skipped rocks as a kid. I know that, man. That guy, that was like the first time he'd ever picked something up and tried to fling it. Yeah, that was bad.
It was bad.
I mean, he laughed at himself. He knew, but
– he must have knew going in, like this is going to look bad.
I mean, you didn't practice that? I mean, you don't have anybody, like, in the entourage that could have played catch with you for a week or two leading up to it?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's just – that was horrible when you watch him actually do that. We're getting a lot of tweets – and I actually got one. I was thinking this, and somebody said Conor McGregor at safety. Now, he has the attitude. Don't know about the athleticism.
He weighs a buck 40.
True, he does weigh a buck 40. Kind of reminds you of Coach McDermott.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Coach did play safety.
Coach did play
safety. And there's no question he's tough enough. But I don't know if he can. I don't know. Yeah, Conor that's a pretty good guess, though. But, he weighs like – isn't the weight limit less than 150 pounds for his weight class?
Yeah.
Wow.
Those dudes are like –
See, I'm all about equal opportunity. But, man, you gotta bring some size. You know, I mean, Hussein Bolt – and the other one is obvious that everybody knows goes back to. He's no longer with us either. This another guy that has passed away is Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And that would have been – yeah, he would have been the all-time, greatest of all-time nose guard in the history of the game.
All right, so we're getting a lot of tweets on this. Lorenzo actually tweeted us and said, you know, Cruz played for the Redskins a couple of years, Terry Cruz.
Yeah.
So he has played in the NFL and moved on to acting, which is probably a great career choice for him. But we're getting a lot of tweets on this.
And Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise is a slot receiver. I've seen that one.
Oh, my gosh.
And we'll keep going over these tweets. You can call us. And we're talking about what non-NFL athlete will make it in the NFL or actor or actress. If you feel like an actress could make it in the NFL, you can call in 803-0550 outside Buffalo, toll free 1-888-552-550. Or you can tweet us. It's the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. Donald Jones, Steve Tasker. I'm sitting in for Murph as he continues to try to get better. This is some interesting stuff coming out. And we've been hearing a lot of things about Seattle making moves and moving on from a lot of their players. Their core guys that have been there the last couple of years. Now, Ian Rappaport tweeted out 5 minutes ago that Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman has told teammates goodbye over the past 24 hours, sources say, and that he won't be on the team. Those close to him say nothing is set in stone and there has been no official word, but clearly bears watching.
You know, I'll tell you, the Seahawks had that team 4 years ago that won the Super Bowl and then got beat by the interception when they didn't run the football with Marshawn Lynch. They've been, you know, a very good team. I think it seems like they're getting caught in the great – you know, that problem that every good team faces. You know, which guys do you keep? Which guys do you replace? Who do you pay? Who do you let go? Richard Sherman, you know, after pulling his Achilles this last year, I knew the writing was on the wall for him. Because, you know, at his age, at that position, an Achilles, that's like almost a death knell. I don't believe in my heart, I don't know how bad the injury was,
But that is the death knell for a lot of players. If you can't run, and that and your Achilles is the thing.
Yeah.
So he's starting to say goodbye. I kind of knew that, you know, in my, I mean, it's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know anything. But I thought, you know, I could see that on the horizon because, oof.
You know, it's interesting because now with Richard Sherman telling his teammates goodbye, maybe he has some news that's going to come out here really soon, but they've already told him. But you hear about Michael Bennett and them trying to trade Michael Bennett. You've heard things about Earl Thomas out there. I mean, it's interesting.
You can't hang on to those guys.
Yeah, you can't hang on to them. And these guys have been there. They're all making money now. And you can't hang on to them because you probably look at it and you want to get younger. You want to get cheaper.
They won their Super Bowl with defense. And they kept paying those guys to keep them around.
Yeah.
And I think what you're seeing a lot of teams do that try and sustain it, a little bit what the Bills are doing now. I mean, you got to wash through that roster and get value for guys. You got to get guys that are on one-year deals. You can't get married to people. The Patriots have never been a team that does that. They let great players go all the way back to Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
All those guys. Not Richard Sherman. The big guy that went to the big pass rusher, Richard Seymour. Mm-hmm. They let him go. Teddy Bruschi's gone. Wes Welker. I mean, they weren't even attached to Wes Welker.
Right.
I mean, they weren't even keeping him around. So
that's just Brady's wife didn't like him.
That's just a team that, you know, got married to guys. Now, you can make the decision about – you can make the case today they're married to Tom Brady. Don't fool yourself. One of the things that the rift came about in New England that was written about in Sports Illustrated was that they were going to move on from Tom Brady and have Jimmy – because Belichick believed Garoppolo was the future and Brady's not going to play that long. Now's the time to make that move. And Robert Kraft said, no.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady ain't going nowhere.
Right.
It's hard to disagree with that.
You understand.
Of course.
But
that's also that mentality that comes out. They said, we're going to part with anybody to continue our run.
I think that's the worst, probably to this point, one of the worst decisions that they could make as an organization.
What, to get rid of him?
Get rid of Garoppolo.
Right?
I think so.
It looks that way now. I mean, but they got the Super Bowl with Brady, so it's not that bad. But by the same token, next year, Brady, you know, they're still going to win next year.
They're still going to win, but you know, I don't care what Brady says. He's not playing until he's 50, you know? So you know at some point here in the next couple of years, it's going to come to an end. Garoppolo, which I'm sure Belichick could see, is a guy who for the next 10, 12 years could keep us on this track of being the greatest franchise in the NFL. Year after year, we're right in the playoffs, and we're trying to get to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And so Belichick could see it, but you have the owner who's like,
we ain't getting rid of Tom.
That's my fifth son.
That's
you
right.
You can't get rid of Tom.
Yeah. And so you go back and see what's happening with Richard Seymour and all those guys in Seattle. They get married to great players. No question, they're great players. Mm-hmm. But unless you can get – like the Patriots do this constantly. You want to stay here and win and have a chance for a Super Bowl every year and take less money.
Right.
Or you can go hit it on the free agent market and make more money, but you'll be on a team that is less than our franchise can put out there every year. That's their selling point.
Yeah.
And they're good at it. Everybody else pays their best players to keep them.
Right.
Even if they're great guys too, I mean mentors and all that. The Baltimore Ravens with Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed, you know, they couldn't sustain it. They finally got back one year with at the end, but it took them forever to do that.
All right, well, this is interesting stuff out of Seattle, and we'll watch for Richard Sherman and the rest of those guys as free agency is rapidly approaching, and you're going to see these teams start to make these cap casualty type of cuts. Richard Sherman, a $13 million cap hit to that team. That's a lot. And so with a guy coming off of an Achilles, a cornerback, supposedly shut down cornerback, that's a lot, you know. So we'll pay attention to that, and we'll get back into our Twitter poll or Twitter question, which is what NFL or non-NFL athlete or actor, actress do you feel like could play in the NFL? We're getting a lot of tweets on this, and we're going to get back into it on the other side of this break. It's the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Welcome back to the show. Donald Jones, Steve Tasker, as I sit in for Murph. You know, as we talked about the Richard Sherman and possibly not being there from his tweet and the Seahawks moving on from a bunch of those guys, you talked about the Patriots actually moving on from a bunch of guys throughout the years and having to do that. I think the Bills, I mean, that's the position you want to be in. Not that you want to get rid of guys, but you want to be in a position where you're so good that you can't keep guys. I mean, that's just the reality of the NFL, you know, and guys are playing for you so well that it's like, man, and when you're at that position, you're doing something right.
And there's every way to look at it as well. Even if you're on a bad team, you got one or two really good players, you think, well, we can't get rid of these guys because then we're really going to stink, you know, so you overpay them and then you can't. You really can't build a team around those guys. Exactly. So it's a double-edged sword, and I think the real problem is you've got to keep washing through your roster guys who play roles and guys who come in for a year or two and then are gone a year or two. You've got guys who are outperforming the contract that you're paying them. I mean, when you can get to that point, you get enough of those guys, you can win a lot of games. And you don't run into that thing where you've got this one guy who the entire defense is their linchpin. You can't win without him. And everything goes, you know, goes down the tubes unless this guy's on the field. So you don't get into that. And I think that's kind of the movement you see some of these teams taking where they're building a team, a roster around, you know, build a roster around Blake Bortles or, you know, Tyrod Taylor or whoever. And then you see teams like the Packers. Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, and they go from being a favorite in the NFC to an out of the playoffs. You know, that's the problem.
The interesting thing out there in the NFC West, this looks like the Seahawks have been on top of that thing for a while. It hasn't been the same since the departure of Marshawn Lynch, but they have been on top of that thing for a little while. Now you see teams like the Rams and teams like the Cardinals. I mean, not the Cardinals, but the 49ers who are probably going to dethrone the Seahawks from the top of that division because those teams are still young, they're getting better, and the Seahawks are older, and they're cutting ties from guys. They got a lot of work cut out for them out in Seattle.
Yeah, they
got
to find replacements for some guys who have been really great players for them. And we're also in the last segment we were talking about all these actors and athletes from other sports. We didn't even get into rugby players and Australian rules football guys because we don't know any of them.
Right.
The rugby guy who played for either the Niners or was it that? No, it was the Patriots. They had him in for camp, and he hung around for a minute. There are some guys out there. There's no question in other sports there are guys who are capable of playing in the NFL and playing well, but some of them, they're already doing something else in rugby and Australian rules football and soccer and NHL, in Major League Baseball, that kind of thing. But to me, there are a couple of sports, and football may be one of them at a certain bunch of positions. I'm kind of living proof that it's not this way. But you go to an NBA game, and those guys are genetically different.
They are.
They are genetically different. They are gifted beyond compare.
I always tell people, you know, I have friends who play in the NBA.
Right.
And one of my friends, Earl Clark, who, you know, he was a lottery pick out of Louisville, McDonald's All-American. Even when we were in Pop Warner, now he played football.
Right.
But we were young. We were like 11, and he was already like 6 feet. And it was like you could tell this dude was going to be just taller than everybody all the time. And he ended up, I think, 6'10 or something like that. But he still, at 6'10, could dribble, could shoot like Kevin Durant. You know, this dude is almost 7 foot tall, but he can still bring the ball up like a point guard. He can shoot from anywhere on the court. He can do anything he wants. Those dudes are just different people.
Yeah, and they can – and that's the thing. Your friend – I don't even know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do all that, and he's just in there. He's not – he's not, you know, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He's not Russell Westbrook. He's not Kobe. He's not Shaquille O'Neal. He's not even, you know, name anybody else. He's not one of the stars in the league.
Right.
He's a guy. Those guys, I mean, I'll never forget that they used to have preseason games here in the NBA, here in Buffalo, in the old Odd.
Mm-hmm.
And we go down, we saw the Pistons play the Nets or somebody, and I was down there. That was when the bad boy Pistons were in the early 90s, you know, when Michael Jordan and all that. And I watched the Pistons come out, and they were freakishly tall, every last one of them. Isaiah Thomas, I was like, good grief. They were freakishly tall. There was like nine guys. They were all like, they stand out anywhere you go.
That's crazy.
And they were all like that. That's when you kind of realize, like, Yeah, that's a different. That's
a different breed of person.
Different. That is a different sport, right there.
It really is. When I go home, and I've said this to my to multiple people, when I go home, I feel tall. I'm taller than everybody. But when I get around basketball players, I feel like a
Listen, I know when I played it for the Bills, all my friends were 6'5" at least. You know,
everybody's tall.
You go out to dinner with all your friends on the road and all these guys, and I, invariably the maitre d' comes up, you know, the hostess, the host, you know, they come up to ask all these huge guys, and they come up and talk to me because I'm the least threatening, you know. So it's just a fact of life for most of these guys. And this hence the conversation we're having. Who do you think could play pro sports that ain't a pro athlete?
Right.
It ain't easy.
Oh, it's not easy
It's not easy to pick somebody out, particularly NFL. When you stand them up in a huddle in the NFL, or you stand them in on the bench around those guys, or you know, anywhere. You put them in one of those – in that atmosphere, and they do not look the part.
Yeah.
No matter what the film tells you.
All right. Well, which non-NFL athlete, actor, actress do you feel like could play in the NFL? We're going to go to the phones, and you can call us and give us your thoughts, 803-0550, outside Buffalo toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or keep the tweets coming in as our Twitter is lighting up. But when we get to the phones, Daryl in Rochester. Daryl, are you there?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call in. I got a 6'10", 250-pound power forward for you in the NBA. How about Blake Griffin? I think he would line up as tight end, and he would be a monster out there, that wingspan. He could catch anything thrown in within a 10-yard radius. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you get me.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Blake Griffin's another NBA player that would probably transfer as well. And you think, too, a guy like we talked about Russell Westbrook being a number one receiver. Think about him as a corner, 6'3", 2", whatever he is, and he can run. He's got that 7-foot wingspan. Oof. He could reach around you. Yeah, there's a lot of guys like that. But for whatever reason, you know, they take a different path in their athletic life. Well, good reason.
A lot more money.
Yeah, the other athletes and guys in other professional sports, man. You know, football is like the least favorite. The one
it really
is. It's the one that where you go there because you want to play pro. That's your shot. You know,
right.
But if you're a better baseball player, that's where you're going to play. If you're a better hockey player, if you're a better, and of course, if you're an NBA player, you never even whiff a football field.
I mean, there are a lot of these guys that actually play football and got hit or something, and they were like,
well, past the age of 12, though, when they start getting up there, they're like, forget it. You know, plus in our country, in the U.S. these days, if you're 12 years old and haven't specialized a sport, you feel like you're behind everybody else. You know, when I was growing up, you played everything. I mean, all the time. You played every sport. Football, basketball, baseball.
It's so early now, they're specializing in these sports.
It's crazy to do that, but, hey, it's the way it is.
All right, let's get back to the phones. We're going to go to Fred in Hamburg. Fred, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What you got for us?
Listen, I got Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lineman.
Yeah, he's all those guys. Like Daryl Dawkins, he could have played left tackle, right. He could have played anywhere he wanted. He could have played a great tight end, too. That's the kind of athlete he was. He was big, heavy dude as well, and plus he was 7'1".
Yeah.
Yeah, for the 76ers and Dr. J, and that, yeah, he was, oh, man, he was.
You know, the basketball players back in the day, the NBA now is a lot different than it was back in the day. And those were some physical dudes, at least for the NBA. They were physical back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had to fight in them at least. So you can see a lot of those guys being able to make that transition and be able to take hits and different things like that here in the NFL.
You know, there was a time, too, when back in the 60s, Hank Stram, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, brought Wilt Chamberlain in to as one of those specialized players down in the red zone. So he'd put Wilt – if Wilt get off the plane, he'd have Lynn Dawson throwing him – he could throw him up above the crossbar.
Yeah.
And you know, just go up and grab it.
That's Blake Griffin.
Yeah. That's what you could do down the red zone with those guys. I mean, so you could just, you know, just line them up and put them in motion, just get them a free release, roll towards them, have them stand there and just jump up and grab it. Nobody could get that high.
And that's why you see these tight ends that might not be going to the NFL. I mean, these guys that play college basketball might not be going to the NBA – say, I'm going to go give football a shot.
Yeah, you see it a lot from the Division II guys, particularly guys who are good hoop players or, you know, in the Division II, and they're, you know, not that different, but they are built, you know, like for 6'6", 6'7", you know.
Exactly.
They walk over and they're great athletes, and their hands for playing basketball is your hands are better than most guys playing football.
How to box out.
Right, their body position
and all of that stuff.
And the leaning on guys down inside doesn't bother them, you know, so they can kind of make that transition.
Jimmy Graham is a prime example. Now, we got this tweet in from Ben Webster. Ben Wallace from the Pistons, old center. I put in Rasheed Wallace in there as well. Two big dudes, big physical players from the NBA. Let's see what else we have here.
We're getting a guy. I don't know. John Jones, UFC fighter.
Oh, yeah.
He's got two
yeah.
brothers that play in the NFL.
Yep. But yep. He's a physical dude. Yeah,
so he'd have to, because he had cut weight and stuff, he'd have to.
The one position that that we're really forgetting, I mean, you look at Messi and those guys out that play European football.
Oh, you got like 50 kickers.
Right. You have kickers for days with those guys.
You'd have an all-pro kicking team. I never thought about that.
Yeah, those guys could come in.
That's why football is the best sport. Anybody can play.
When I was in high school, our coach, I think it was my freshman year, he went over to the soccer team. And they had a kid who wasn't really playing over there, Hispanic kid, wasn't playing. And he talked him into coming out to play football. And he was like, look, you're not going to get hit unless you're running down on kickoff and you got to make a tackle. But he kind of had a mean edge to him.
Right.
And so he got him to come over, and this dude was a beast. Alejandro, I remember his name. I can't remember his last name.
All right, didn't turn out to be Adam Vinatieri or somebody.
Oh, no. He didn't go to that kind of story. he didn't go to college or anything like that for football, but he was a beast.
Yeah.
And in high school, I mean, he was making kicks from everywhere. But you got to imagine that, those European, the soccer players, man, they could do it. They could do
it. Well, and there's, Kyrie Irving, all those guys that you'd have to think, at least you'd like to see them on the field, see if they could do it.
Yeah, see if they could do it. All right, let's get back to the phones. We're going to go to Rich and Tonawanda. Rich, are you there?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good. My suggestion was Michael Jordan as a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's 6'5" and could run. People talked about that back when he played as well. Scottie Pippen was a guy they talked about too. Pip was a guy had huge hands, big wingspan. All guys like that. The question is, as always, can they play football? But yeah, they've got the athletic ability, no question about it. And most of them.
Yeah, too, is his jumping ability is outranked a lot from a lot of other places. And what you look at now in the end zones. Everybody's jumping as high as they can.
Yeah, it's a red zone target. These guys are the best.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt.
Football is one of those sports, and I don't want to take away from football players. Both of us actually played in the NFL. But it's one of those sports where it's – I don't want to say easy because it's such a physical sport. It's not for everybody at all. But in terms of just sure athleticism, you can see guys being able to make that transition. The whole physical part of it, that's a whole other story. But going from football to baseball is different.
Right.
Going from football to playing basketball is different.
Even hockey.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too, that makes football so intriguing about all these people that we're talking about. Because you got guys – I mean, look at me. I mean, 5'9", 182 when I played. And you got kickers who can do it. Then you got big, huge guys that can do it. You got big, strong athletes. There's a role.
Mm-hmm.
There's a multitude of physical roles. And if you've got a certain physical gift and can find a home, you can play, which is what I did. So it's interesting to think about other people, who missed that, who weren't exposed to football or who whatever. And you think, see them doing other stuff now and being successful. One of the things that we've talked about, too, is, do they really want to?
Yeah.
Do they really want to go out and you practice every day and you play 16 games a year, which seems like a ton. That's it. I mean, that's your career, And then you get the rest of the time you're spending either healing up or training up.
Right.
So a lot of people, and rightfully so, said, I'm doing something
I'm
else,
good,
man.
Yeah.
I'm good. I am so good.
I was talking to Stephon Gilmore I think yesterday. And he said to me, man, I've never been this sore after a season in my life. And he was like, that run to the Super Bowl is unlike any other season I've ever had. It's so long. He was like, my body was so sore. I'm just starting to really come around from that season.
I'll tell you what, in the years that we were going to the Super Bowl, the one I remember is Super Bowl 26. It was the second Super Bowl we went to, and it seemed like a long, dark, dreary run to the Super Bowl. And it was the most stressful atmosphere I've ever witnessed, let alone been a part of, because we'd lost a Super Bowl for all intents, we lost it for a lot of reasons, but we had wide right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a tough loss, very close loss, and it just stuck with us. So you spend that whole offseason getting ready. We got to go back. We can't not go back, you know. Mm-hmm. So if we get back and you get to the playoffs and you're trying to get back, and, man, nobody missed practice. Yeah. I mean, not Bruce Thurman, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Henry Jones, go down the list. Nobody right. missed practice for any reason. Mm-hmm. You had guys with Murph calling in sick. No. You're coming in. You're practicing. I remember I got shot up twice during Super Bowl week just to practice. Oof. It was that kind of atmosphere. And I was like, let's go. Hurry up with that. I got to get out and stretch, or I got to get, I was like, forget, I don't care.
Yeah.
It was that kind of stressful atmosphere. And Steph Gilmore says he's never been that sore. I'm telling you what, the atmosphere inside the locker, even the jovial, even the good locker rooms like I was a part of, boy, they were serious. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were really serious. And guys, it was as stressful as it can be because the pressure all came from us.
Yeah.
It was us putting it on ourselves. We were like looking at each other going, I won't let you down. If you don't let me down, we're not going to do it. Let's go. I don't care if I'm, sick. I don't care if I got 101 temperature. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's something. And and I'm sure Steph is now realizing that's the way it is. And I'm sure that it was a different atmosphere for the guys in Buffalo this year getting to the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing he said was just, it's harder here. I was like, what's the difference? How's that New England life? He was like, it's hard. Yeah. He was like, you get used to it, but it was just a lot harder in New England. And just their system and then how they go about things, their training regimen, all of that stuff was a lot harder than the coaches he had played under.
You get the
here.
Feeling in New England, if you're not a part of the game plan, it's not like you get a week off.
No.
You're working on the game plan in 2 weeks when you are going to be in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. So you don't get any slack time. And it's a little bit the pressure's on. Now, yeah. I'm sure those guys have fun and they're good dudes to each other, good locker room, all that.
Because they're winning.
Right. But I'll tell you what, there's some stress in there. There's some stress, and that's one thing you can't quantify for people.
All right, we're going to take a couple more calls, and then we're going to move on to some stuff that you actually brought up about Nick Foles. But we're going to get to Jeff in Jamestown. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I got two guys, one modern and one in the past. Eric Thames, first baseman for the Brewers, and Dave Winfield, who was drafted by all three major sports, the Padres, of course, and the Atlanta Hawks, and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I remember Dave Winfield. Now, Dave Winfield's a good one because he was an athlete. Big, strong, rangy, could run. He was a tall guy, chose baseball, obviously, Hall of Fame career there. And it'd be interesting to see if a guy like Dave Winfield would have made the Hall of Fame in the NFL or the Hall of Fame in the NBA if he'd decided to go there. Because he was big, tall. Mm-hmm. He was one of those guys and chose baseball and for all the right reasons. I mean, he signed an unheard of deal with the New York Yankees and played. He went to the Hall of Fame. What are you going to do? The guy was great. That's a good one. Now, the first baseman for the Brewers, you got me on that. I have no idea who that guy.
What about the Big Hurt from the White Sox?
Frank's a little heavy.
Frank's a little. Could be a lineman. At least, right?
Frank ain't that big.
I don't know how tall he is. He's just short and heavy.
There's a difference between heavy. Heavy and big.
There's a difference. Barry Bonds? Well, see, Barry was like.
Well, yeah. Hey, PEDs, man. Yeah, I don't know how tall he was either. See, because the height's a thing, man.
He was an athlete when he was young.
Yeah. Well, he was. Yeah, you're right. He was a good athlete. So, yeah, he could have been a DB, maybe a running back, put the ball in his hands. Yeah.
Griffey?
Oh, yeah. Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah,
he was an athlete. There's a bunch of them out there. Plus, I always think about these baseball players when they're 15 years into their career and all they can, all they've had to do for 25 years is hit, and they didn't really have to be an athlete anymore. So you get like a Gwynn, what's the guy's name of San Diego Padres of the great hitter for the Padres who passed away actually. You saw him as a young Padre. He's trim, fit, mm-hmm. and at the end. He's looking like my college coach, Denny Green, I mean, he's a little round. So, it's hard to say.
All right. Well, there's some news coming out of the NFL as we started to talk about. trade alert. I like this. The Seahawks are trading defensive end Michael Bennett. We were just talking about this. Yeah. They're trading Michael Bennett and a 7th-round pick to the Eagles for a 5th-round pick and wide receiver Marcus Johnson. sources tell ESPN.
So yeah, I got to tell you, that Michael Bennett and a seventh to Eagles for a fifth, and who's
Marcus
that?
Johnson.
Marcus Johnson. Michael Bennett's a pretty good player.
He is a good player. And I'm telling you, they are shedding some weight out there in Seattle.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it's hard to, when you're shedding weight like that. It's hard to win games. It's hard to win games when you're shedding weight like that.
Yeah, it really is.
Because you know you got dead money on your cap. You got mm-hmm. you're missing a guy. Hard to replace a guy with like Bennett with his sort of production. Mm-hmm. Hard to replace his production with particularly with just one guy. Yeah, that's Michael Bennett is, and he's certainly a vocal guy as well. I mean, he's one of those guys that's out in front of it, and that's an interesting trade because the Eagles' defense was pretty, well. You know what though? They're missing their. Kyle Long's probably not going to play this next year.
Right.
They're missing some guys. They're going to lose some guys mm-hmm. from their Super Bowl team. Yeah, it's hard to stay at the top, I guess.
And so there you have it. Michael Bennett is being traded to the Eagles, which he's probably happy about, going to a good team with a seemingly great quarterback there in Carson Wentz if he comes back healthy. I'm sure he's happy about that thing. We heard about Richard Sherman and his communication with his teammates saying goodbye.
Right.
Waiting to see what that is all about, if he knows that he's going to be traded or released or what the deal is. Sometimes you'll get these, the teams will call your agent and say, look, we're going to be moving on from so-and-so.
Right.
And it might not happen until a couple days, but at least that guy knows. And it's really respect for that player so that player can, if you're going to get cut, that player can actually start to communicate with other teams and say, look, so-and-so is going to get cut. He's going to be free. Yep. Can we make something happen? So we'll see what's happening with Richard Sherman. But I wouldn't be shocked if we start to see some things like this come out of Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely. And Marcus Johnson is at a spot. This is one of the things when Jordan Matthews came over from Philly's, one of the reasons was because they were full of really good wideouts.
Yeah.
And, of course, they won the Super Bowl this year, so they probably feel like they've got their roles all settled, mm-hmm. for at least for this next year. So Marcus Johnson probably was a little bit of extra weight for them. And throwing it as a to make a deal to get a really good defensive lineman, that's a pretty good move for Philly. And the problem is you get a feeling from the Seattle Seahawks end of it, it was a money decision, not a football decision.
Yeah.
And that stinks for them.
Oof, man.
That stinks for them.
If they get rid of Michael Bennett – and Richard Sherman. I got a tweet in that says something like they're going to go from the Legion of Boom to the Legion of Done.
Yeah.
The Legion of None, I think I saw a tweet as well. It's going to be different in Seattle. For me, it's been different since Marshawn Lynch has been gone, but they still had those guys. But now that, you know, you're not going to have Michael Bennett, you're not going – well, we'll see what happens with Richard Sherman. It's going to be a different Seattle team. It's going to be interesting to see if they can stay afloat in that division with the other teams seeming like they're getting better.
I think Seahawks are going to say, just like a lot of other teams do, we think we can lean on our quarterback a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He'll keep us in some games that we shouldn't be in. We'll have to make a lot of plays off the page. Maybe they're saying, you know what, we think our offense is going to take a step forward this year. Maybe they got that kind of thing going on where we can, you know – but no question, they're going to have a plan. But they're going to have some dead cap money. Well, not really, because Bennett's traded, not cut. So
yeah.
That alleviates that a little bit. Makes good sense, though. From the Eagles' standpoint, yeah. It's a pretty good move. Yeah. For me, it's a football move. And from Seattle's end of it, like I said, it's a money move. And that's not where you want to be.
All right, we're going to get to a break. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about this a little bit more. These trades that are coming down, free agency is coming up, so you're going to get a lot of these cap casualty cuts, guys being traded. Some big names are going to be in new places. We'll get back to if you feel like there's a non-NFL athlete, just an athlete out there in any other sport that can play in the NFL, actor, actress, you feel like can play in the NFL. This is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. It's the John Murphy Show. I'm Donald Jones, sitting alongside Steve Tasker. A lot of news coming out of the NFL. I was telling you that I spoke with Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore, former Bills cornerback, and he talked about the run to the Super Bowl. And probably the main guy in the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl MVP, the quarterback. You had something about Nick Foles that came from Michael Wilbon?
Yeah, Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser on their show, PTF, pardon the interruption, I believe yesterday, were talking about Nick Foles, and they both agreed, and I get it too. They were responding to rumors that the Philadelphia Eagles will trade Nick Foles for similar to the deal that they got for Sam Bradford. Mm-hmm. And both those guys said, listen, as far as this draft goes, we've been talking about Sam Rosen or Sam Darnold,
Josh Rosen,
mm-hmm. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. You can go down the list.
Right.
They would rather have Nick Foles than any of the quarterbacks that you're going to draft in this draft.
I think I'd agree.
I think I would too, but it's not a rubber stamp. I mean,
it's not a rubber stamp that he's going to be great.
Right.
And, you're not sure how much longer he's going to play. I mean, there had been reports that he didn't even want to play. But that was because he had horrible years out there with St. Louis and then L.A. And then he got a chance to get back to the Eagles. And now look what he's done, becoming a Super Bowl MVP. So now you got to imagine that he's like, I'm about to go get paid. I got millions of reasons to keep on playing. Plus, right now, he's on a team that believes that they can go back and win the Super Bowl again. But I think I'd rather have Foles than any rookie coming into the NFL just because he does have a track record. Now, he had bad years, but he's had a couple of pretty good years in the league as well. He was one of the hottest free agent quarterbacks at one point when he was leaving Philadelphia the last time.
But here's the thing. I mean, the Eagles are saying they want what they got for Bradford. They got a first and a fourth for Bradford. Everybody here's been talking around two ones and a two, you know.
And that's because –
that's what they got for Bradford, and that's what they're saying that they're kind of thinking about doing. Now, they've got some offers on the table, I guess, one from an AFC team. It might even be the Bills, but that – they've got offers and they haven't taken, obviously haven't taken any of them yet. But if they're talking about a number one and a number four for Nick Foles, that ain't even close to being correct.
Yeah.
I don't think. I think that's a rumor started by somebody.
A one and a four?
Yeah. For Nick Foles, the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
He wasn't just a guy out there. He won. He was the MVP.
Oh, he played well.
He played great.
Yeah.
And coming down the stretch
dropping
of the season
dimes.
For a good football team, he played better than good. He won the MVP outright. Caught a touchdown pass on the Philly special, has become legendary.
Right.
Made those run pass option moves, was flawless. Made some key, like fourth and two on that last drive when he had to hit Ertz for the first down, did that. I mean, just played really, really well. Now, no doubt, he's not a guy, and I hear all this about, hey, Nick Foles, he's not that good. Look at his career. And I was like, okay. But you know what? He plays pretty good.
Yeah.
And a one and a four is not enough if I'm the Philly.
It's really not enough. And it's not even just – I mean, yeah, it's part in because of how good he played in that run. It's part and because you know that the league and the bidding is going to go up. That's why they haven't accepted anything yet, because you know the bidding is going to go up something crazy. Teams are going to start to offer something crazy. The closer we get to draft, you're going to see teams like, look, we'll give you everything to get Nick Foles, because we just don't believe in the quarterbacks that are coming out right now. Or you're going to have a team that feels they're one person away, the one quarterback away from going. The teams that are in the Kirk Cousins running that don't end up getting Cousins, you got to believe they're going to really offer something.
Listen, there's a ton of teams out there that aren't in the run for Cousins because they don't have that kind of cap space and don't have the desire to pay Cousins that kind of money.
Right.
Secondly, there's a lot of teams out there who aren't in a position to get one of these top five guys. Mm-hmm. They can't get up that high in the draft. They're like 8 or 10, or they have the 21st and 22nd. Now, the Bills could, because they got two ones and two twos and a three.
Right.
In the top 95. So they could package some stuff. Plus, they got some players.
They
got some guys they could throw in. So the Bills are probably in a position to get up inside the top five. But, the Jets? No. They'd be crazy not to do that. Do you think Foles is better than Cousins?
I think Foles is better than Cousins.
I do, too.
I think he's better than Cousins.
Cousins is going to pull down – the rumor is $91 million over 3 years fully guaranteed.
That's
you don't
crazy.
Have to pay Nick Foles that. He's making 7.5 now.
Right. And you get him in for the last year of his contract. And if he's playing well halfway through the season, then negotiate something with him long term. But you know, at least for 1 year, you're only paying
$7 million. Give him
20. Right.
You're still getting a bargain.
Still getting a bargain.
Right?
Yeah. Now,
this all stems from an article coming out on NFL.com about, you know, multiple offers for Nick Foles, and they want, you know, they're talking about what they got for Sam Bradford 2 years ago, a 1-4. That is not enough for Nick Foles. Sam Bradford was never the Super Bowl MVP. Sam Bradford
hasn't done anything.
Right, except get hurt.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, now he is, in my estimation, he's the best quarterback on the Vikings roster when he's healthy.
When he's healthy, yeah, that dude has talent. He can throw it.
He's the real deal.
He can throw it.
For those of you who don't know Sam Bradford, he's almost, I think he was the number one pick of the draft by the Rams in St. Louis, and he can sling it. I mean, that guy's big, tall, he's got it all. But because he's so tall, he's a little bit vulnerable to, you know, coming apart when he gets hit down low and in the mid, you know, whatever. He's been knocked around.
And we were out at the
combine. And he was on bad teams, too.
Yeah, he was on bad teams. And we were out at the combine, and, you know, the reports came out that his knee is just bad.
He wanted to retire. He's thinking about retiring.
Yeah. You know, so.
But then again, so was Nick Foles before this season.
Before this season. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's a little bit different when you, every time you wake up and you get out of bed and you're like, oh, this knee just hurts. And it's not like Sam Bradford is really hurting for the money. He really has to do it for the love of the game. This dude has been stealing money for a long time in this league, Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a first, at least first overall pick.
Yeah.
Before the new CBA.
Yeah.
So he got all that money and then got a big contract again. He's got like a couple big contracts.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, though. No matter what you've made, if a team says, listen, we need you for 2 years, we'll give you 8 figures each year for 2 years.
Yeah, you're not passing that up.
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you walk away from that? I mean, that's, you're talking like 10, 12, 15 million bucks a year for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of dozen million dollars. And because your knee hurts? I don't want to do it because my knee hurts?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Not a receiver.
I got to suck it up and go, don't you? Because that's me, it's wide receiver, you, and me, a special teams guy. Yeah, I'm sucking up and going. Because I did it for like 5% of that anyway. So
5%
I sucked it up for 5% of that.
Of what they make?
You're talking about the 10 figures?
Yeah.
I can't do the math. It's way above me.
Is it 5%?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Might be.
All right, I got a question for you. Now we put out this Twitter question, and it was about, you know, a non-NFL athlete that you feel like could play in the NFL. You played in the NFL. I played in the NFL. You played with guys in college. You played with guys in high school. Which guys have you played with? Let's just stick with the NFL guys that you feel like could play another sport professionally.
With and against, or with just
with and against. That could play in another sport professionally.
Well, you know, it's hard to say because when you start talking about guys who had a baseball background, it's hard to know whether they could have done it, you know, because it's such a specific skill.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done everything but hit a curve, you know, and then they can't play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Elway was drafted by the Yankees or whoever he was he was drafted by. So, there's guys like that. But I'll tell you this, I played with Deion.
Oh, yeah, Deion.
He could play. Bo Jackson, I played against him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could go. There are other guys, too, like, gosh, I don't know. But there are also those guys, I don't know if they could have done it in another sport, but even in the sport that we played, guys on other teams, on the same team, would talk about them in whispered tones. Like, you know, and it's hard to impress an NFL locker room because everybody in there has got an ego. You know, you're all, you know, well, overcome everything to get to the locker room anyway to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to impress them. But when you got guys like that who are going, yo, did you see what – your boy did last week, and, you know, when they talk low and they're really impressed. That's what they used to talk about when I first got in the league. They talked like that about Eric Dickerson the year he came out and he went 21-05 or whatever he went. Mm-hmm. Guys on the Oilers who played against him were like, wow, that guy was different. That guy was different. So there's guys like that you played with knowing that if they would have gone into another sport or whatever, you'd kind of think, yeah, you know what, they probably would have been successful.
Yeah.
There's guys like that.
So guys that I played with that could play another sport. See, I played with so many guys that were good NFL players, and I always say this because my father's always like, I'm an athlete. You know, I can play multiple things.
Yeah.
I think about – see, Stevie – I don't know if Stevie could have made it all the way to the NBA, but Stevie could play basketball.
Stevie wasn't tall enough.
He wasn't tall enough. He was, what, 6'2"? He was 6'1", 6'2", somewhere in there. But when you talk about somebody with handle and somebody that can move with the basketball, a guy that can shoot, I mean, Stevie was, we played out at Fitz's house. And actually, Fitz was a pretty good basketball player. We played out there, and it was just like.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a pretty good ball player. Man.
Compared to us. Yeah.
Yeah, compared to us. I mean.
We don't count as a comparison. See, I played, think about this. Now, I just had a guy, my bro text me, James Lofton was an Olympic athlete.
Hmm.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
He was an Olympic athlete.
You got a lot of guys in the NFL. Well, not a lot, but you have some guys in the NFL that have, there are guys coming out in the draft this year that are track guys.
Right.
And they end up running 4.3 something, and you're like, wow, I wonder if you played, if you ran track in the Olympics or something like that.
There's another one, too.
Marquise Goodwin's.
Back in the day, Herschel Walker got recruited by the bobsled team as a pusher.
Really?
You know, you think about it, has explosion and that kind of thing. Where that's kind of something that I think there's a ton of guys in the NFL that could be a good 2, 3, and 4 man in a bobsled team.
Right.
That explosion on those 40-yard times and then pushing that thing and then having the agility to hop in there. And that's all it takes. The guys that I played with, there was a ton of guys like that. And I don't even know if weight is the issue, whether you want light guys who can push you, whether you want your sled light, or whether you want it heavy so gravity works better on it. I don't know.
Exactly.
But either way, both those guys exist. Both those guys exist. Those type of guys exist in the NFL. So you're talking about Olympic athletes. Yeah.
What about this? guys that you've played with.
I know
with.
There's a ton of guys that could be good curlers.
Now, what about this? Guys that you've played with or against. You play a lot of golf. That could play golf professionally.
Oh, listen, here's the thing, because golf, you got to start when you're like 8.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start hitting it. These guys all took it up when they're 20s.
Yeah.
And even so, they got pretty good pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have given these guys, and golf is about wanting to play. You got to want to be good. And that's, so you got a lot of guys that can bust it and hit it and stuff, but they don't want to they don't practice. They just want to play and all. But if you get a guy who's dedicated, yeah, there's a ton of guys in the NFL athletically enough who had hand to eye and would have, absolutely. You think about it. You get one of those guys 6'5" and a half. Yeah.
They could hit a long way.
They would have been Tiger before Tiger.
You always hear about Romo being pretty good at golf.
Yeah, he is pretty good. But he can't even get on the
pro-am?
Yeah.
Can't even get on the pro-am?
Yeah, he can't even – yeah, those guys – no. It's a different level, and it is, truly.
You ever play with Charles Barkley?
No, I've seen him. I've seen him fly. That is
one of the worst swings you ever see.
You will flinch.
Even if you don't play golf, you're like, that looks – that just does not look right.
That is – man, that swing makes you flinch.
That thing is horrible.
It makes you flinch.
I've seen some good ones, though. I have been around Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald is a pretty good one. Steph Curry is pretty good.
There's a lot
golf.
Of guys that can do it and who, you always – the joke is the punters and kickers because they don't have to practice all the time.
They don't have to do anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's true, but, I didn't take the sport up until I was in my mid-20s,
Yeah.
And I'm – even if you get down to a single-digit handicap, you're light years behind those guys on tour. Light years behind them. It's not even close.
What about guys here on this team that you played with
that were
pretty good?
Kyle Williams is a great stick. But when I played, it was Chris Moore, the punter. We had some guys. Frank Reich was a pretty good stick when he was here.
Okay.
He played a lot.
He's a backup quarterback.
Yeah. So. That's a good point. It's a good point. But, yeah, there was a couple of guys that could play. A couple of guys that could come and go and could play, too. So,
really?
Yeah.
And you guys used to play during training camp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a different world, man. It was a different world.
Yeah, we never played golf during training camp.
We played 18 a day.
A day?
Yeah. Well, the days we played 18. We played 9.
And you had double sessions.
We played 9 after the first practice. Play 9 after the afternoon practice. And go to the Super Bowl.
And go to the
Super
Bowl.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not happening today.
Just think about that. You don't think things have changed? Yeah, things have changed.
Things have definitely changed. I couldn't speak for any other team out there, but I can't see guys going to play 9 holes.
It's different.
Well, first of all, they don't even have double sessions. But they still have a practice and a walkthrough.
Right.
So you can't even see guys having practice and then going – to hit nine holes and then go into a walkthrough. Because, number one, guys want to go to sleep.
Yeah, that's true. And some days you did that. We didn't do that, like, every single day, but right. certainly, you know, more than once. Yeah. And it's funny, too, because we were talking about it during stretch. You come out of that afternoon practice. You know how it is. You're down there stretching. You guys, you know, all that, you know, all the stuff's getting talked, you know.
Talking
and you're trying
trash.
About, yeah, all the garbage has been talking. And guys start talking, and we start talking about golf, you know, and how we played and who's doing what. And we had it when, you know, guys started popping off about I could be you, that. And then, you know, all of a sudden I got $100 say you that, you know. So pretty soon, you know, a couple grand later, we got a group going out.
Yeah.
Finding, you know, saying who can you really do it? So, right. yeah, it wasn't even like we tried to hide it. And, it, you know, because, you know, you don't want to now.
No.
You kind of feel like, gosh, maybe we shouldn't be doing it.
But, different days. But we did. Now, what we did was bowl. On Friday nights.
Yeah, yeah.
Every Friday night we went and bowled. And there was some money in the pot. It, you know,
oh,
it was $100 a game.
Listen,
people
have no idea the competitive nature of the guys in the NFL locker room.
What?
You can't throw – you can't say anything definitive about yourself without it being challenged.
Right.
Say, I can do this. And they'll be like, I can do better than that.
Exactly.
Or, no, you can't do that. You know, you can't come out with something like that.
No,
the moment you talk about yourself in any way, shape, or form, you're going to get challenged.
Right. And it might not even be that person, like, I'm better than you. They might be like, no, you're not. So-and-so is better than you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they volunteer somebody else. That person might not even want to play, but, hey, man, so-and-so just said he's better than you. And you're like, yo, I didn't even – how did I get into this?
Whoa.
How did I get into this argument? So we did bowling and we did pool.
Yeah,
shot pools.
Listen, it's just the atmosphere that we all grow up in, and it's the way you function.
All right, well, we're going to get to a break here. We got one more segment.
We were talking about Nick Foles, and now we're talking about bowling.
I know. Sometimes that's how it happens.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We got one more segment in this thing, though. It's the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, or the last segment of a special players-only edition of players-only edition.
You liking
of the show.
That?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, you know, Murph missing Murph today. Just you and me,
and Lorenzo for the first hour. Yeah. As we got into some free agent talk with Lorenzo, there's been a lot of some news coming out of the NFL, from around the NFL. We were talking about Nick Foles. Would you trade for Nick Foles? And speaking of trades, Michael Bennett traded to the Eagles, which he's been one of the most outspoken players on social issues in
the
league.
You think the social issues thing had something to do with it?
It's probably a part of it.
I don't know, man. That's a lot
of money. I mean,
money
is money. That's number one.
The money thing is – and I think the fact that we're talking about it brings it onto the table, because he was a very outspoken guy with social protests and outspoken against, you know, policies of the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy, and most of these guys are not shrinking violets anyway, but he was out with it.
Yeah.
And he was on the forefront of a guy who was calling people out. And I get that. And some of what he had to say was very relevant and good. But that's always an issue when you got a team sport like football, when a guy's speaking, it's like, well, how's everybody else? And then everybody else got to deal with it too.
Right.
So a lot of teams don't like that.
They don't.
Because it becomes, particularly in a town like New York, where there's 18 riders and all of them want to get 53 opinions about what this guy just said in your locker room.
Exactly.
And so it's like, you know. So I don't think that's the reason Michael Bennett's not in Seattle anymore. I think that was a money thing.
Yeah.
And they found a way to get a wide receiver in return and a draft pick.
Same thing the Bills.
Yeah.
You know, finding a way to shed some weight without actually cutting
right.
a guy.
Right.
You know, and having
shed some weight and
money.
Still get something in return.
Exactly.
That could turn out, you know, it's got a little bit of a high end in it.
Yeah. So you got draft picks and you got a player. So, yeah.
I don't think Michael Bennett's outspokenness was an issue, and certainly not a deciding or maybe a consideration in it, but
yeah,
I think it's ancillary. I think this is all about the money for Seattle.
Yeah, I think he is about the money, more about the money, mostly about the money. Even Richard Sherman, if he ends up getting cut or traded, that's going to be about the money. He's a $13 million cap hit to them out there, you know. So
does that turn into dead money? I mean, because –
that's something to really be
be
talked about. We're still getting tweets on this.
On the non-football.
I mean, people are sending me former Bob's letters.
Yeah.
You know, that played in the CFL. I mean, we've gotten some crazy stuff.
That's not all we talked about either. We talked about Saquon Barkley and Shaquem Griffin.
Yeah, Shaquem Griffin. Yeah.
And what he's going to do. That's going to be interesting to see the area. And there's always a bunch of really fun guys to keep track of in the NFL as the draft comes closer. We're still a week away from free agency. Man, there's a lot going on. Football never stops anymore, man. I need an offseason.
The NFL has done a good job of their calendar and spanning these things out, scheduling these things throughout the course of the season.
Always plenty to talk about.
Yeah, it's always plenty to talk about around the league. We'll see what's there to talk about here at One Bills Drive over the next couple of weeks as we have free agency approaching. Tomorrow on the show, we have former GM Mark Dominic. We have former Redskins tight end Chris Cooley. And we can talk about Alex Smith, if they're excited down there in Washington. Yeah. Kirk Cousins leaving. It's the John Murphy Show. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.